Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Today's Sunday session is brought to you thanks to the fine folks at More Beer. Visit them right now at morebeer.com.
If you really want to be one of the best brewers there is,
I stopped dressing all in plastic.
You better be brewing 5 to 6 times a week.
A beer, every beer, is made with love, and it begs to be appreciated.
I need something to kill the salmonella I'm kind of worried about in the eggs.
Do you find that that the hops kind of clash with the chicken embryo you put in there?
I might sleep here tonight.
It's a California king. There's plenty of room for both of us, Beavis. Yeah.
How many of the brewers over there have seen your ass?
That's it. Someone's getting cut tonight.
All I have to say is, hey, McDonald, how you doing?
Now, live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Justin Crosley. I'm your host tonight of The Session. And boy, do we have a show planned for you. It's almost Valentine's Day, so maybe it'll be a show full of love for once.
Yeah. Don't hold your breath.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. But we do have a great guest today. Modern Times Beer will be in studio with us.
Oh.
Yeah, they make some good beer.
They make great beer.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. We've got a bunch of their beer on tap here at the Hop Grenade, so if you want to come down and try some yourself, you can do that. Plus, of course, we'll be talking about and tasting it here on the air, so that should be fun. Today's show is brought to you by More Beer. You can go to morebeer.com and check them out. You know we love those guys. And for years, the folks at More Beer have been leading the charge when it comes to cool and unique homebrewing equipment like the RoboBrew, the easiest way to brew all grain made from stainless steel. The RoboBrew allows you to make 9 gallons of beer all in one vessel. From boil to mash to cooling, the RoboBrew truly is self-contained. If you're thinking about getting into all grain brewing, you should seriously consider it. Or up your fermentation game with the all-new Fermentosaurus plastic conical. It has a 9-gallon capacity, a stainless steel stand, a sturdy butterfly dump valve at the bottom, and the best part is that it'll hold up to 35 PSI. Check out these awesome innovations and more over at morebeer.com. And thanks to them.
Big thanks.
Well, SF Beer Week is in full swing.
Yes, it is.
It's 10th year. Actually,
that's right, 10 times.
Which reminded me of how old I am.
Yeah.
I went to the very first.
I'm sure I did too.
I remember the very first SF Beer Week events. And in fact, I was a little late asking for media passes to the opening gala. But they said to me, oh, you grew up with SF Beer Week. We have to give you a pass, even though you're late. And we cut it off. That was a last
writing.
Minute, yeah. So they got me a pass so I could go in and check it out, which was cool.
You dropped your own brand, huh? I dropped your brand. That's all I got.
Well, and when I wrote to them, they were like, well, Tasty already took the pass. And I was, which I don't
you know,
care,
I
which
had
is fine,
Tasty. But she couldn't make it, so I mean, you could have been that.
It's fine. I was like, oh, of course he did. Tasty goes to all the events. I don't go to beer events anymore.
No.
I felt compelled to go to this one. I was feeling a little nostalgic about 10 years of Beer Week.
You had to notice that everybody was there, right? I mean, all the brewers were there for their brand. can.
Yeah, and that's
it's unusual in that way.
That's the cool thing about it. Yeah, the brewers come out; they're all excited about Beer Week. It's funny talking to people in the beer industry about Beer Week in any part of the country, because you always say the same thing. You know, you go up, man, how you doing? Oh, Beer Week. You know, it's going to be a busy week.
Got to be here till 11, moving out. You had to be here 4:30. You know.
Yeah, everybody's got so many events, and of course they've been even just gearing up for it by brewing special beers, collaboration beers. I mean, you name it.
Right.
So,
so how are you feeling about Beer Week?
I'm leaving.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's not his first one. Remember that.
Right. I mean, I went to the gala on Friday and enjoyed myself. I had some great beers and got to see some people I haven't seen in a long time. And then we've got tonight's event here at the Hop Grenade with Modern Times. It's not just the show, but we've got a tap takeover going on. But I'm headed back to Colorado tomorrow morning.
So that's why you went to the gala, to make your appearance. Yeah. So everyone's like, oh, yeah, Justin was at Beer Week.
He cares about Beer Week.
For a couple days.
That's about accurate.
Smart.
Yeah. No, I know. And I'm a marketing guy. And I know perception is everything. So you show your face up there, they're like, all right.
He must be going to all of them.
He still cares.
Yeah, when everyone's sober enough to remember, then they forget when you left.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of breweries at the gala. It's certainly grown in 10 years. In fact, you know, it used to be in a much smaller venue, and the gala was very different size-wise. And now it's a very large beer festival. It's over 80 breweries, I think.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, back then when it started, I remember there was a handful of events. The Barley Wine Festival was the closer. That doesn't even exist anymore at Tornado.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
No.
Oh.
It got too big for that little space. The opener still exists, and that was always the Bistro Double IPA Fest.
Right.
Which I think now has grown into the Double and Triple IPA Fest.
Yeah, Triple came along, so they included that.
So do they give away two awards?
Two sets of awards.
They do. Okay.
Two sets, yeah.
Yeah, I was really confused because I was reading on social media, you know, breweries saying, oh, my God, I won the Double IPA Fest. And then somebody else is like, oh, my God, I'm so proud. I won the Triple IPA Fest. And I was like, well, how could two people? And that's about when I realized they split it up.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they do the People's Choice Award. But everything in between now, there's a million events. I think we've got four or five here at the Hop Grenade. We're doing one just for you on Friday, Beardy.
Oh, perfect.
Hazy versus clear event.
Oh, okay.
And bring some friends and stuff the ballot box.
So I'll be able to drink half of the beers on tap?
Yeah. Well, people can come in and they can try them side by side and cast their vote for whether they like the hazy version or the clear version.
Perfect. Yeah. I'm already registered as a write-in voter, so it'll be fine.
Yeah. And then more importantly, I think worth noting for Beer Week so far is that JP's not here. It's a successful year, I think, all around.
Yeah, he left the state in preparation for SF Beer Week.
Another Beer Week guy.
Yeah.
He didn't even stay around for the weekend. I wanted to go to Sour Sunday on Sunday, but I didn't want to go so bad that I went.
You thought about
it. Cool story, bro.
I thought a lot about it.
So I saw a couple of pictures from the Hop Grenade staff. You are so happy you didn't go to that.
Really?
These are the ones that make you make bad choices.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They do. They do make me. Some of my staff makes me make some really bad choices.
There's some pretty glorious photographs on Eric's phone. You should take a look at.
Ah, I should have gone. I mean, I shouldn't have at the same
time. No, you shouldn't have.
Yeah. They know it, too. They know I'm gullible. I'm easy. So... yeah, probably best I didn't go. I like when my staff gets me in trouble, though. My staff in Fort Collins actually likes me, which is weird.
Because they don't see you as often.
I think that's right. They were all out together at my favorite dive bar in Fort Collins and, like, sent me a photo. They're like, hey, we miss you. We're keeping your spot warm. And I was like, who are these people?
Another motive there. Yeah. Just another example of people in Fort Collins being way too nice.
Too nice.
That's
what I was thinking.
No, they're going to ask for a raise soon or something.
Oh,
no, they're just,
that.
It's weird, Kim. They're nice.
I don't know
if I believe that.
Oh, man, when I show up there, I get a warm welcome, and they smile. They're here.
I think they're high from the altitude.
Yeah. Well, whatever it is, they should keep it up. I walk in here, and they're like, oh, Jesus.
I said hi to you.
You did?
I did. But then I closed the door.
You said hi, Jesus?
Right. Yeah. They like me here when we go out drinking. That's about it. Mm. They don't like seeing me in the day-to-day.
Because you pay?
I don't even do that. No, they usually buy me drinks. How fucked up is that? I'm such an asshole. I went out with one of our bartenders the other night, and he totally, it was an accident. Like, he just bought the round, but then when it was my turn to buy the round, everyone was drunk and leaving, so.
That's convenient.
Yeah. Dick move, Crosley.
You're still a professional in every time, every situation.
It becomes a second sense, I want to tell you. How to skip a beer.
I know what I'm doing. And again, if you just time it right, it looks like, oh, gosh, well, you know, I'll get you next time.
Right.
And you never show up for the next time.
No, exactly. No, sorry, I'll be in Colorado for the next 6 years.
Right.
I'm good at this whole beer week thing. Kim Shimke is here, and she made us Valentine's. It's almost Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Well, made. I mean, I purchased.
You didn't even make
them?
Well, I did. I hand wrote them.
So this is, Warren that you bought a card, or some other Warren doesn't have a card.
And see, this is how heartfelt it is. I used your real name.
Oh, that's right.
Mine has X's and O's on it. Does yours have X's and O's?
Mine has a lot of seagulls.
Oh, so, okay. Seagulls.
Oh, I got little dots. Wait a minute. Oh. You look up closer. Fingers. One finger.
I got X's and O's.
You did? So there's a lot of love for me and Bevo.
Okay.
It's a little bear. It's Valentine's bear.
Slip show 9, huh?
Hi, BFF. Kate is a very charitable woman to love you, but on Valentine's Day, I'll pretend to like you. That's what friends do.
Oh,
so that assumes that we're friends.
Mine actually says that she loves me, and she wishes me a happy Valentine's Day.
That sounds
beautiful. Bevo's is the only one I actually said love. That's true.
Yeah. Well, mine has like a heart. Heart, Kim.
Yeah. It's like, it's less personal love, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Ours is like a friendship.
What does yours say?
Mine is a heart-shaped card with a horse on it.
Your heart's amazing.
That says, I'll be your Valentine, but don't try to drive me.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Is it because
can you
can't
hold,
see?
Can you hold yours up to the camera?
Is that good?
That's good.
What does your text from Kim say? Your note?
The handwritten part says, to Warren, a.k.a. bestie, a.k.a. friend, a.k.a. homie, a.k.a. soul sister, from Kim, with a heart on over the eye.
Okay.
Starts off with an ellipsis, then says, you know, because you have a hard time seeing and I don't want to die, happy Valentine's, BFF, all the beers for you.
No, that's why
it's relating
not to
the
drive.
Front. You can't drive.
I understand, yeah.
Oh, I already forgot that part.
See how I looped that in? See how creative my mind can be?
Heart, Kim, XOXO.
Very thorough. And Tasty, would you like to read yours?
I'd love to. Fuzzy little rabbit with a dunce cap on. It's holding a big Valentine, and on the Valentine it says, anyone would be a dunce not to love you.
Oh.
And my Valentine, it's signed.
That's very
nice. And on the back, Too Tasty from Kim. Mm-hmm. Happy Valentine's Day. Two sets of XOXO, so that's getting to second base, right?
I agree.
And then it says, cheers, Kim. I love Kim.
Yeah, I would say of all of them, Kim's clearly hitting on you.
I'm getting it.
Yeah.
Right. She was the most nervous writing your card.
Right. Yeah.
You have a secret admirer. This is the time to come out with it.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's no candies or fruitcake or cupcakes that we have to
Words
eat.
Words mean more. You know, okay. They stick with you longer in your heart.
Also, why would she bring anything? You're terrible about every time she brings anything, ever.
Also accurate.
We complain every time she brings
That's
something.
That's very true.
Right, but usually us complaining doesn't get anything to stop around here.
That's accurate.
You got me to stop cooking for you.
Yeah, that's true. Bevo now doesn't cook for us anymore. And we are a very complaining bunch. That's accurate.
Yeah. But and all you guys out there in podcast land get to listen to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Turn the channel, will you?
Yeah.
Now, Tasty, are you going to spend most of your week at Beer Week events?
Yeah, a good part of it, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, every night, actually.
Anything in particular you're looking forward to right away?
Well, I'm looking forward to... something's back here on Friday. Is that the East? That's the Hazy?
That's the Hazy one. Are you going to come? Oh, cool.
Yeah, I plan to be here for that.
Great.
Certainly, I'll be going out to the last event of Beer Week, the Celebrator Party. It's their 30th anniversary.
Oh, cool.
You know, you've been to that.
Yeah, I like that party.
Yeah, it's fun. It's always a good time. Again, a lot of the brewers show up for that because it's they have no other place to be. It's the last event.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to My friend Matt Sager's got a tap take over at a bar, at a little beer cafe near here. I'm going to do that Thursday night.
Okay.
But I'm going to go on to the Rare Barrel where our friend Brendan Goff from Central Coast is pouring some of his beer there.
Okay. So. Very nice. Yeah, you got a busy week.
Yeah, I got
And Shimke, will you be attending Beer Week events, or are you, like, detoxing? Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I've lost motivation this year, okay. like before.
In general or just for beer?
Well, in general, but, yeah. you know, we're talking about Beer Week, so I'll keep it to the yeah. topic. I don't know. Like, I think it's because I've been doing this for 6 years, and so, like, the past, I don't know, four or so, I wanted to do something, like, every night, and I made a point on weekends to go to a few, and... there's some that I'm interested in. I'm definitely going to try and go to, but I'm not as motivated to try and hit up as many as I can.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do the malt liquor show put on by Drake's. I think oh, yeah. that sounds pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a cheesecake and beer pairing on Saturday.
What?
Which, yeah, but there was only one slice of cheesecake. I was thinking there would be, like, you know, a few varieties to go with the different beers.
Sure, matches. Yeah.
There was one, and it was $14, and you paid for that separate than the beers.
Wait, just the slice of cheesecake was $14?
Correct.
Whoa. I don't understand that.
Why? You can buy, like, a whole cheesecake for $8.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fantastic. Don't get me wrong. It was really good, but I think it was not what I had anticipated as all.
Right.
Mm. It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
That's why I don't go out.
That's why.
Yeah,
yeah, that
$14 cheesecake.
Yeah,
I don't avoid the food and beer combo thing. Sometimes I know some of those tickets are pretty expensive, and I'm not one to stay in one place for like 3 hours in a row or something like
oh,
that.
Oh yeah, I won't do beer dinners. Yeah, I did one at some point, and it was like $60, and you gotta get like four courses. But yeah. like, I can't eat that much, and plus with full beers, like I cannot. It just it's not worth the money.
I don't mind the food pairings, and I could tend to think like you, Tasty, where you, like, I avoid them, but actually there's some out there that end up so good. But I'm with you, Kim. I won't do the beer dinner thing anymore. It's too much.
Yeah,
it's all. I mean, I see the value for others, but for me, yeah. And maybe I got ruined too by going to like Paxton's, you know, 37 courses that I just,
right.
you know, like it actually lasted all of Beer Week. I was just there in a seat in a restaurant for 7 days. so the whole beer dinner thing is a lot. But there's less of those now. Now, a lot of times you get the little tasting room pairings like the one you mentioned. Although that's why. So for, and then you had to buy the beer on top of that. So $21 for a cheesecake and a beer, I'm guessing.
I think they had eight beers on top, maybe 8 to 10 or something like that. And so we only just did four. But if you wanted to taste like all of them, then you pay, you know, separate per flight. But.
Right.
Did they give a reason as to why they picked those beers to pair with the cheesecake, or was it just a bar that had eight taps?
No, it was just they had their beers on tap, and you pick your own.
Mm. Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
Well, there's a lot of good events out there. You can go to sfbeerweek.com and check it out. I still get called as a beer expert every now and then. I got called by KQED over the weekend to do an interview with them just about Beer Week. Mm-hmm. They came out here to the Hop Grenade.
Oh, cool.
And I listened to it on the radio. Do I speak really slow normally? Like, am I slow?
I mean, you are now.
I am.
You slowed down just now.
I did. Yeah. But the rest of the time, I wasn't.
I never know. I've never thought in my mind. Thought, oh, you're speaking
right.
So slow.
Yeah. Not particularly.
Was your host speaking much faster than you? That might have made you sound slow.
Yeah, but I still listened to the recordings, and I mean, it was, like, really slow. I was a little hungover, I guess. It was in the morning, but still, I've listened to my interviews before, and I never noticed that. And I was like, man, did I stroke out or something? Because I didn't like the interview at all. I sounded really dumb. I sounded really slow. You can go check it out if you look up KQED. It was on the All Things Considered on...
Oh, that's nationally syndicated.
Were you nervous because you're being interviewed instead of being the interviewer?
I wasn't nervous at all. I'm never nervous about that stuff. I didn't notice I was doing it when I was doing the interview, I was like, man, I'm good. Like, I just fire off these answers. Like, he didn't, like, send me the questions ahead of time, but I'm a one-take wonder, man. I just fire that shit off.
I can do this up beer. I don't even need to be
right. Yeah. And so I went and listened later, though, and I was like, God, you sound really lethargic.
Maybe you should have had a beer or two.
I know. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
You're missing the magic ingredient.
Was that the first time you talked aloud that day?
Yeah. So it could have been that.
Does that matter?
Well, you would think, but my voice sounded, you know, like it normally does. Go listen to it and let me know. Get back to
right into feedback.
It's on KQED. It was on All Things Considered. I think on on Sunday. I think it was on Sunday. I think they said they would make a podcast out of it, and you can check. It's right at the beginning. You don't even have to listen to the whole All Things Considered. It's like, you know, one segment in. But yeah, I was really disturbed listening to it. I was like, man,
no, I'll check it out. I'll let you know.
I thought I stroked out or something. No. I just didn't want it to be that way. I'm just hoping I was hungover, I guess, is what I'm. You know.
I'll be able to tell because I might not know your meter.
Yeah,
you just don't want that to be how you are all the time. Now.
Exactly, because I was like, it's time to retire. You know, the one thing I'm good at in life is this.
Well,
and if that has now gone away, it's really, things have gotten bad.
Everything slows down when you get older.
It was, but other people who are good at something, it lasts a lot longer. You know, so made me a little uncomfortable.
Well, you burned real bright.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, shoot me a text after you listen to Tasty. I'm curious what you think. Tasty, before he worked for me, used to be a fan of mine. So he's he's the guy to be like, yeah, man, you jumped the shark. Yeah. Don't answer those interviews anymore.
Used to be.
Which, it's a good thing I'm transitioning to the written word. Because I'm the new beer writer for Scene Magazine in Fort Collins.
Wow.
That's right. Nice. I'm writing my first article for the March edition. They reached out to me there. Like I said, people still, I'm telling you, man, it's all marketing. People still reach out to me as a beer expert.
Wow.
And it's funny, too. They use those words. They're like, you're the beer expert. And I just go, yeah.
Oh, don't be too flattering. I got that after like a year of blogging.
My reaction is try to talk them out of it.
How many times did you use the word myriad in your first article?
I haven't written it yet. I have to write it. I have to write it tomorrow.
Do you need me to edit it for you?
Oh, somebody's got to edit it.
Are you just going to copy the BN newsletter?
Yeah. Oh, I even told the editor of the magazine when he offered me, I said, listen, you know, I haven't done this in a long, long time, so you're going to need some time to edit my writing. I just want you to know, all right? I don't want you to get my first article and be like, oh, what did I do? I was like, just let me get in my, you know, my rhythm and then check it out. So, but I got rejected the first article I wanted to write. By the event, I wanted to go to this beer festival on Valentine's Day, and they said no. I said, do you know who I am? They said no. No, they knew me. I don't know. They said their like space was limited, but don't you allow for like media passes?
Well, maybe you had to bring a plus one. They didn't want to bring a solo guy into the Valentine's
event. No, I was bringing a plus one as a photographer.
Oh.
But no, I don't know. They were nice and everything, but anyhow, I had to scramble for another story. I'm flying out to Fort Collins tomorrow. I'm going to knock it out. And then in the March issue of Scene Magazine, I'll have Shimke share it if they put it online or whatever.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm expanding into the written. So if I'm failing now in the spoken word, if I've jumped the shark, I've got this other.
Yeah, we'll give you another critique. I'll give you two for the price of one.
And as long as it stays a monthly publication, you should have plenty of time. Yeah. To write it.
I mean,
plenty of procrastination time.
Right, but still, like, I'm already under the gun on this one.
Right.
So. But I've been waiting on this one event, and they just canceled on me today. But look, I am somewhat of a professional. I could see it coming. They weren't being very communicative, so I already had a backup plan.
Nice.
And I have that in place. You can check that one out too, Tasty. And
send those guys at that first festival a copy of the Scene magazine.
Right.
Could have been in this year.
Could have been this.
Maybe in the future.
The way I see it, too, like, I've read a lot of bad articles, like, about us and about beer over the years, so I feel like the bar is low. I feel like I can do this. I
mean, right.
I can write at least at a C-plus level.
Of which grade? Like, first grade?
No.
Second grade?
Like, sixth. I feel like I peaked in the sixth grade.
Okay.
Then I went through several years being a douchebag.
Post-peak?
Yeah, I was very advanced in the sixth grade, and then after that, you know, I think they thought for a while like they were going to skip me ahead grades.
Oh,
and then somewhere right around the seventh grade, they were like, "Oh no, he's barely where he belongs.
He plateaued."
Yeah,
that was it.
In fact,
we knew his brain was different. We just didn't quite know how.
See, I burned fast and bright
exactly,
then, and this is my MO. I give it all, and
you wore this channel out now too.
What's next? I hope I don't wear out retirement too fast. I want to stay in for a while.
You better change your course.
I'm going to write a couple articles for Scene. Tasty's going to give me feedback on my latest interview, and then I might enter retirement.
Nice.
And,
That'll be it.
Yeah.
And then slow down.
We'll see. All right, I got to get through some things here. All right, let's do some announcements. Brought to you today by Drake's Brewing Company. Go to drinkdrakes.com and check them out because they've got a bunch of SF Beer Week events that you should be checking out. And we love their beer here, and they're really a strong supporter of the Brewing Network, so you should check them out. They're also a strong supporter and sponsor of the Brewing Network's Spring Brews Festival, and tickets are on sale for that right now. You can go to thebrewingnetwork.com and get them. They're $40 in advance. If you wait, they're going to be $50 at the door, so save yourself a couple bucks there and get your tickets now. We've got some new merchandise for sale in the online store. We've got Sour Hour t-shirts. We've got two new designs. I'm a little worried about one of them because it's like our listeners are so... what's the word?
What is the word?
Homophobic sometimes. Like, if it's any... Here's what happens. Like, if it's any color other than, like, a dark blue or black...
Are you talking about the maroon
or whatever.
One?
Yeah, yeah,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
And, I haven't gotten feedback
on it yet. I'm just saying that I take these chances every now and then because I want something other than,
my
like...
God.
A,
oh,
and, yes. And I'm telling you, our listeners... But then they'll write to me, can you get something other than black, you know? And then I do... And what do I hear? Like, I don't like that. I mean, it's a little girly, you know.
So, like salmon?
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't pick salmon.
The shirt is freaking burgundy. If you can't.
Yeah, it's like maroon burgundy.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But our listeners are very... conscientious.
You know,
of
I
how
love being a man in something other than black and gray and blue.
I guess that's a good point. It's not, maybe not just worried about looking feminine, but bright colors, you know.
Make you look 10 pounds heavier, and you're probably, because you're drinking beer, you're probably, you know, 20 pounds overweight or whatever, at least.
Yeah. I used to be a wardrobe stylist, and color has nothing to do with how you appear.
Oh, really?
Likewise. Yeah, I was a wardrobe stylist for 3 years.
But maybe it makes you feel you're drawing attention to yourself if you wear bright colors, you know.
And reds tend to highlight your lack of pigment. If you're in my situation.
I see.
Well, we have a lot of pink in our skin, so you're not supposed to be wearing orange.
Oh, okay.
Oh, never.
Well, right, but when you wear a magenta or burgundy shirt, everyone sees the blood pumping through your face.
Well, right now, are three shades of orange. You got your shirt, you got your beard, and you got your face.
Yeah.
You are a ball of orange right now.
Plus my Carhartt pants,
which come off as a different shade of orange with the rest of the.
They do.
Okay, who dressed
you? Orange? You glad I didn't wear burgundy today?
Well, if you're looking for something a little different, we've got that. Plus, there's some. I think the Sour Hour shirts are like gray and green. There's some cool stuff in there. Go check out our store. It's a great way to support us. You can also do your Amazon shopping, and that helps us out. Just click the Amazon link on our homepage and do your shopping as normal. There's a link for both the U.S. and the U.K. to do so. So go check that out. You can subscribe and join the BN Army for as little as $2 a month. You're entered into the More Beer Monthly Donation Giveaway, and Kim Schimke sends out the winner of that in our monthly newsletter, which you also get by joining the Army. So do that. Great way to support us. Also, get more information and weird things that we do over on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Send feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. No JP, so no Twitter game today.
Twitterless.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh.
Great.
No Twitter game.
Although when Bevo runs it, it gets fun sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, does she invent the question or monitors the answer?
That part. She monitors and then reads and picks.
I see.
That can get interesting.
Okay. Well,
it's just something else that he's mean to me about. It's not interesting or fun.
Why are you so mean to Bevo, Beardy?
Am I?
Sounds like it.
You're dismissive.
Just one notch down.
If I was dismissive, I wouldn't even acknowledge that she did the Twitter game, right?
I feel like you're dismissing Kim Schimke's commentary right now.
I feel very dismissed.
Oh, gosh. I failed women's history in college.
Across the board.
Yeah.
Doc, you're not even a woman.
I feel slighted.
This is a genderless issue. Sexless.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
All right, so no Twitter game, but we do have some feedback to do for you.
Yay.
Feedback is brought to you today by the Beer Law Center. Go see our friend John. Go to beerlawcenter.com. He can protect your trademark like he does ours. Oh, I got to send him a new one. Somebody just sent me another. It's a whole clothing company. on Instagram.
Oh boy!
Called the Hop Grenade, and using a hop grenade. And of course, a listener sent it to me. It's because our listeners are great.
Yeah.
They always send me that stuff. And I guess the guy even posted on the page. I commented on one of the pics, like, "This is not the Brewing Network." Got deleted and blocked. So they
oh,
know.
Wow.
I forgot to send it over to John. So John, you got another one coming your way, but he can take care of you guys as well. Go to beerlawcenter.com. All right. Here's one about our podcast from Jim. He says, FYI, it looks like episodes added over the last 6 weeks are added to the end of the feed instead of the beginning, as has been done in the past. This seems to be messing up my podcast downloader. I'm not sure if it's impacting anybody else, Jim. Okay, Jim, I know about this. However, I was told it wouldn't affect it. So we had a new plug-in built on our website that was to assist us in automating our posting, which, by the way, the result is to get you guys your podcasts faster, because in the past, if I'm out of town, I'm the only one who could have coded the podcast, and now it's more automated, so everybody can post show. JP can get it done. Anyhow, I, too, noticed that the posts were being put at the end of the coded file. However, in iTunes and I think in Google Play, they're still showing up at the top, and so I brought it up to my developer. He said it shouldn't matter where they're placed in the file. And then when I verified that in iTunes, I thought that he was right. So, Jim, or anybody else, I'd be curious to know what reader you're using that might be showing them in the wrong order. And let me see if I can get that taken care of. Because to me, in iTunes, they're showing up correctly. So send me something so I can check it out. All right. Aaron writes in, hey, I just wanted to tell you all how much I love the show. I currently work for a major beer distribution company based in Johnstown, Colorado. I'm also an avid homebrewer. I drive a semi-truck 5 days a week, and you guys and your goofy podcast get me through the hectic drive from the suburbs of Denver. I tend to listen to most of the Cali episodes because of banter and brew talk. The Foco shows are great, just more like a beersmith podcast at a bar. And the format there is a little different. And partly because I don't have my crew there. It's just me and the guests. And I tried dicking around a little bit with the guests in the beginning.
Solo?
Of course, it depends on the guest.
I got
a lot of like blank stares. And then not only that, when you do the live show from a venue, you have two audiences. I have you guys at home listening, and then I have this audience in front of me. And if I act silly and try some jokes that like don't work, and the audience there is just staring at me an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have a laugh track. You need a laugh track.
It's very difficult so I just end up kind of being a little more serious about it because I don't have like a sidekick to joke around with, and then I can't really handle being stared at like I'm an idiot.
Right. Okay, so you had my brother there.
What the fuck is he going to do? He's worse than you, Doc. Yeah.
Yes, he is. Oh, he can stare at you and just make silence on the radio.
He's one of the ones who makes me feel uncomfortable by being out in the audience.
But he was there.
They tend to be just a little more serious. Like here, if my jokes flop, I'm just staring at you guys. No big deal.
You can handle this kind of rejection, not a room full of stranger rejection.
Yeah. No, that's too much for my fragile ego. he says there doesn't seem to be much banter on the Fort Collins shows. Have you considered getting your own group of nut jobs and beer dorks for the Fort Collins shows?
Might not be a bad idea.
He said, I think it would make for some awesomeness that could help you with your shows.
It's not like they don't have 42 breweries there.
Yeah.
Then you have to make friends there.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That would require me to make new friends. And I don't think I've made new friends in 10 or 11 years. I don't...
I'm going no.
I don't... Who needs new friends? I have enough friends, and it's so difficult. You have to go through the whole... It's like courtship.
There's so much work involved.
There's a lot of work. There's awkward moments you have to go back through. Like now, with all my friends, I can say and do anything.
Right.
You already know all of my faults, what an idiot I can be, and it's fine. We move on.
Right.
But to introduce a new person into my faults it's difficult.
So that's decades of backstory.
You need a wingman to get friends.
Basically. But even then, I basically only make acquaintances. There are people I like.
I believe this.
You're skimming the surface. Yeah, I get it.
And even then, there are times I enjoy hanging out with these acquaintances.
Sure.
It's rare, but it happens.
Right.
But moving past the acquaintance phase is It's virtually impossible. I don't know how people do it.
There's only so much room at the top of the mountain.
Yeah. I have really good friends. Yeah. One more, you know, nobody can compare to them.
Right. I mean, you could say me. It's fine.
I mean, Shimke's been trying to be a friend for I don't know how long now.
I'm slowly chipping away. Oh. I feel like I'm almost there.
It'll be a mountain.
This Valentine might
top
be
of the mountain for you.
Well, this Valentine card goes a long way to make me feel like you're still
an acquaintance. Especially those X's and O's on the envelope.
Firmly solidifies your acquaintance status.
I'm still looking at those.
Who got more
X's and
O's? We've
had hearts to hearts, Justin, you and I.
So I agree. So here's what I've done. I'm actually bringing in an entire new show into Fort Collins that I don't have to be on.
Oh,
and that's how perfect. I'm circumventing
that.
You audition people?
Well, yes. I didn't. Moscow did. But there's there was
so they're all young women.
No. He
guys
took
without
the,
friends.
He took the easy route too, as you can imagine. There was already a beer show happening on public radio there, and it's called like Bikes and Beer, which is important to Fort Collins. Mm-hmm. And so we went and talked to them, and I got to meet with them again this week. So it won't be in place of the session shows, but it might mean that I don't have to do the session from there once a month, especially because I agree that it's lacking a little bit in content. Although the show I'm doing there this month is going to be great. Okay. This one I'm excited about, and I made nice with at least one of the guests. Like, we're kind of, I wouldn't say friends, but we were able to laugh together.
Oh, have some familiarity.
Yeah. Friendly. Like, rapport.
He did an event
still
with
an acquaintance,
us,
right?
And then I actually went out to another venue after the event to play pool and have some beer, as I hear people do.
Whoa.
And I did all of those things. It didn't feel too awkward. I won at pool, which made me feel superior. I sort of need that in my relationship.
Okay. Did he let you win?
No.
That's just white trash superiority.
Yeah. It's going to be a great show with Proust Brewing and Zwei Brewing, and we're bringing back one of our favorite old topics, decoction mashing. So Proust Brewing does all decoction mashing. Zwei Brewing, also a German lager brewery, does not do decoction mashing. So for those of you that want to attend, we're going to offer for a flight of beers where you can taste along with us and compare the two methods of mashing.
Oh, that's cool.
And we're going to rehash the whole thing, and it's going to be great. We've also, there's a local maltster in Fort Collins called Troubadour Malting. So it's basically an all malt show. We're going to interview Troubadour Malting, and then I'm going to have the two breweries on, and we're going to do the taste test and the whole thing. So that one should be at least a little more exciting.
Yeah.
So.
Even if you are starting to talk slower, you're getting faster at working less.
Yeah.
It took you way less time to get out of the show in Fort Collins.
That's true.
Than getting out of the session.
Yeah.
You're right. It took me years here.
Right.
It took me just a couple months there.
So you are learning something.
He's building his proficiency.
Yeah.
I do become more efficient at not doing things. As the time goes on. And I'm proud of that. So, Aaron, thank you for your advice. I don't think I'll be getting co-hosts on the session for there for what the reasons I just mentioned.
I'm not going back.
But we do have a new show that should be coming out there soon. And then finally, I've been getting a lot of notes about Stitcher not working, that the most recent sessions are not available on Stitcher. And I don't know why. I have to talk to them about that because that's an automated process. I haven't changed a thing. They might have changed something. So
yeah, the last session on there is the Bissell Brothers episode.
Well, that's better than some people said. This sounds like a complicated problem because other people said, wait, when was Bissell Brothers? Was that this
December,
year?
December.
Oh,
it was a while ago.
So, okay, December. Yeah. So, yes, that's right then. Some people have been saying there are no podcasts from this year.
Yeah.
And that sounds right then if Bissell was December. Okay. I'll get to it.
Maybe.
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 Wait a minute, that is not sincere to you.
I'll get to it. So, all right. Like I said, we've got Modern Times beer on the program with us tonight. Yeah. We got a few different beers to try from them. I have two different beer lists, Bevo, so we got to figure that out. I've got a beer list of just like three beers, but I think we've got something like nine beers on tap from them.
We had beers on tap, and then there were beers that were brought in. So, I need to do some
whittling. We got a lot of beer.
Whittling.
Okay. Got some purging.
Well, and I'm not driving home tonight, so we can get through this beer tonight.
Oh.
It's going to be a long night.
We'll just have 10.
Oh. Yeah.
There we go.
Oh.
That'll work. Did you take home beer from last week, Tasty?
Take home beer? Oh, I was, and I forgot them. There was two bottles. They gave me some, then I left them here.
Yeah. Oh, they got stolen then.
Oh, no. There's Ooh. Well, there's one in the cold box.
Imagine somebody put them away and no one knows.
There's one in the cold box that Scott was like, well, this got left behind. And I was like, it's mine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Scott, every time. No, well, this
is
Scott.
Wow. There's one common denominator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Such a, wow. What is the word?
You can have that.
Oh, that's all right. I don't need
it. Bit of a miser. Like, oh, this got left behind? Yeah. I just went to the bathroom, Scott. I left 8 seconds ago. Yeah.
Well, it was the Flanders, and he's like, is this sitting here for me and Jay? And I was like, it's mine?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not.
No touchy?
Yeah. Luckily, the stuff that comes in for your new show, Heads and Tails, comes in a box. I think you've got some
with my name on,
some samples over here.
Yeah, for our next show.
The name has not stopped Scott in the past.
Oh,
so
really?
I wouldn't worry about that. It's just the box that I think stopped.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for our March show.
Okay. Yeah, you can check out our all-new show, Heads and Tails. That's in iTunes and on Google Play and on the website. And that's Beardy and JP talking about distilling.
Yeah.
Are you going to do the Hangar 1 Vodka Rosé?
We're talking with Hangar 1. They're probably going to be a guest coming up here pretty soon.
I mean, I was joking, but I would actually come out for that.
Well, we might invite you for that.
we might tell you the date of that broadcast.
Yeah. I have to promote it, so I'll know when it happens. I don't need the invitation.
Oh, fine. Next episode should get released next week.
Okay.
So,
excellent.
Rogue.
Oh, yeah, Rogue.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Modern Times Beer is on the program with us. We're going to be speaking with Alex Williams and Andrew Schwartz from Modern Times. Hang in there. It's The Session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customer club, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Labs swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customer club. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer?
They make beer.
Watch out! Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch
out! Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Brewing great beer is a process of continuous learning, and the best books on every aspect of brewing can be found at Brewers Publications, with more than 50 awesome titles like Modern Homebrew Recipes by Gordon Strong, Designing Great Beers, The Ultimate Guide to Brewing Classic Beer Styles by Ray Daniels, American Sour Beers, Innovative Techniques for Mixed Fermentations by Michael Tonsmeyer, For the Love of Hops, The Practical Guide to Aroma, Bitterness, and the Culture of Hops by Stan Hieronymus, and Radical Brewing, Recipes, Tales, and World-Altering Meditations in a Glass by Randy Mosher, plus many, many more. These are the books and the authors with the knowledge to push your brewing farther than you thought possible. And you'll find them all at fine homebrew and book retailers everywhere. And visit the website at brewerspublications.com. Brewers Publications, all the best on beer and brewing.
Marin Brewing Company in Northern California has been making award-winning beers for more than 25 freaking years. Today, I want to tell you about their new 12-ounce cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale. The good stuff. Mount Tam is bright gold, 5.5% ABV to keep you feeling good, and has been winning awards since 1989. If you're visiting the Bay Area, get your butt out to Marin Brewing Company. They pour tasty beers and serve great food every day until midnight. Come in for a tour, stay for the food, and pick up a six-pack of cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale to enjoy at home, camping, biking, or whatever the hell you do. Owner Brendan Moylan has this to say about Marin Brewing beers.
It's freaking awesome.
Marin Brewing has won more than 100 gold medals in international competitions. Check out marinbrewing.com for all their award-winning beers, food, and merch. Marin Brewing Company in Larkspur, California. Award-winning taste, refreshing finish. It's freaking awesome.
Session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
All right, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for sticking with us through that. And thanks for sticking with us, Great Fermentations. You can go to greatfermentations.com. They've got the largest catalog of Blickman products on the web. And their staff is some of the best trained in the business using Blickman products. They've got top-notch customer service and same-day shipping on many items. Check them out at greatfermentations.com. And be sure to like them on Facebook, GR8 Fermentation. Find them on Instagram and Twitter, greatfermentations.com. All right, as promised, we've got Modern Times Beer in studio with us today. We are going to be speaking with Alex Williams. She is the Barrel Program Specialist, and Andrew Schwartz is on Skype, the Head of Special Projects. Andrew, are you there?
Yes.
All right, we made it. My whole computer exploded during the break, so
oh.
I'm glad that that we
thanks,
got this.
Might have.
Yeah, sorry you had to wait on that, Andrew.
Okay. No problem.
And Alex, welcome to the studio. Thanks for coming all the way up to see us.
Thank you for having me.
Are you here for some Beer Week stuff, too, or just to hang out with us?
Yeah, I've been doing a couple events here and there, not trying to overload myself, but I've done a couple of things every day since Friday
since
evening.
Since Friday. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you go to the
hey,
golf?
Alex.
Hi, Andrew. Sorry, the what?
And Andrew is stuck down in San Diego, as if it's a bad place to be stuck.
That's terrible.
I was told that there's some special event happening tonight, Andrew, that we're taking.
Yes, that's right. We have our Modern Times prom tonight. Zombie disco is the theme.
Nice. You guys do this every year? It's like a team building something or what?
Yeah, team building, you know, just living out our fantasies of past lives, you know, sort of thing.
Right.
Actually getting asked out to the prom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Guaranteed dates. You know, stuff
right.
Like that.
Yeah, if I was reliving history, I would be sitting at home right now, Andrew.
Right.
Getting drunk.
As am I.
My friends.
Yeah.
No, wondering who your cousin was.
Man. Yeah. All right. Well, we are excited to have you guys on the show. I've been a fan of your beer for quite some time, so it's nice to have you guys here to talk about
thank
it with us.
Thank you.
Somebody give me a little history of the brewery just to start. How long has Modern Times been open? And I'm curious, because you guys are employee-owned, too, so if you could kind of give me some of that progression.
I mean, I'll talk about it a little bit more. I've been here since about 3.5 years. We've been open for about 4+, just had a recent anniversary, and well, that was last summer. I mean, Modern Times history is short but full of I don't know, details, things that we've done, everything since the first tasting room in Loma Land, and then a year after that, opening in North Park neighborhood of San Diego.
Okay.
Yeah, and it opened just with the four core beers: Loma Land, Black House, Blazing World, and Fortunate Islands. And then ever since then, we just have been cranking, making different beers, doing adding to our barrel program. And now recently, we're finally open in LA and in Portland in the last month.
Wow.
We didn't expect them to happen at the same on the same month. That was not by anyone's design.
Okay.
But the LA brewery has been in the works for at least 2 years.
Got it.
And And now that it's finally open, we're super excited about it. It's been a huge success, and it's super fun to brew there. And it's just something that we've been working on.
And are, so all of the locations that you mentioned are breweries, or are some of them just a tasting room?
So it's pretty funny, actually. So we had Loma Land, which was the only brewery, and people used to ask about Park and say, is that a brewery as well? And no, it's just a small tasting room. And now we have three breweries as of, 3 weeks ago. So,
wow.
So LA, downtown LA location has a brewery in it. It's a 10 barrel system. And, the Portland system, is the old Commons building.
Did Commons go under?
Commons didn't go under. It still exists. They had to move out of that space. So our friendship with the Commons and how close it was, they asked us if we wanted to move into that space and take over their brew system.
Yeah.
And we were overwhelmed, but we were able to do it. So it was really exciting.
Got it. That is exciting.
I mean, it's something that came out of a friendship, and like our first collaboration that Modern Times ever did was with the Commons.
Got it. I was extra curious because I know those guys at Commons, and the Homebrewers Conference is up in Portland this year. And I really wanted to use that space for our anniversary party. So, Andrew, guess who's going to be hearing from me after this program for our 13th anniversary party up there?
Or you can just say yes on the air right now.
Justin.
Yeah.
Just a lot of chatterbation about anniversary party. Are we having one?
Oh. The thing I just mentioned?
How big is it? And what's going
to
happen?
When I wake up, it takes me 10 minutes to get them.
Yeah, sorry, Andrew. Doc's a little slow tonight.
Okay, I rolled in late.
I can't even imagine what it's like over there right now. You guys have been drinking all of our high ABV beers and having a good time.
I know, and we're not even a disaster yet, and it sounds like this.
It's going to go.
Well,
there.
We're a good party. What are we, like 300-400 well-behaved homebrewers?
Somewhere between 300 and 500 okay. Well-behaved homebrewers.
And we're not in Portland.
Is that tasty? Oh, I didn't know he was going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here. I'm on board. Here.
I recently met him. It was I was starstruck, honestly.
I'm sure I let you down.
We all get that way.
Oh, yeah.
You got hit by a
beer, right? Gave me a sticker. It was quite
sure,
nice.
Sure, of course they would.
Of course he gave you a sticker.
My only trick.
But if I can just one more thing that was incredibly important to us as a company as in our growth was last year we became 30% employee-owned, but we're an employee-owned company now. Mm-hmm. One of the first breweries in California, or the first brewery in California. And it means that every employee from servers, bartenders, to management has a piece of the company that grows in equity as they continue with the company.
That's awesome. I'm glad you brought it up. I had it on my list of things to ask you about because I was curious if you guys were employee-owned from inception, but it sounds like you weren't. You just transitioned to that.
Yeah, that's right. It's a little tough, I think, from inception. It doesn't always make sense either as a company, but to get, I don't think we should get too far into like the economics of things, but like it is about like a tax. There's a tax thing that happens with it, and it's also like a very regulated thing that you're doing, the employee ownership plan that we're doing. So
I bet.
It's complicated, but either way, after initial investors were bought out last year, a certain portion of them, the employees bought 30% of the company. And down the road, it should be eventually employee-owned. So
entirely?
Yep. Jacob McKean, who's the owner and founder of Modern Times, he owns over 50%. And eventually, his exit strategy is to sell Modern Times to the employees. So
that's a great
instead
strategy.
Of selling to Big Beer, he's going to sell to... Instead of turning his equity into employee ownership is the point of the ESOP.
Very smart, very generous.
Yeah.
He
knows he's going to leave eventually, so why not leave it in a good way?
Yeah. Exactly. And why not leave it to the people that are working their ass off to do it?
Exactly. You know, it's in good hands in, right? Yeah.
Even having an exit strategy, by the way, is a step above right. most of this industry,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what so, about this yeah. employee? We should have our own ESOP here, I'm thinking.
You how about this? Right now, I'm going to do it right now. We're an ESOP.
Has to be worth
we all get nothing together.
Congratulations, guys.
So what's going to happen?
What kind of product are you making,
That just means we all get to pay the bills.
Exactly. You do the last thing you want. Somebody asked one of our employees, how many do we have? JP or somebody asked me about that a long time ago. I was like, listen to me. You do not want anything to do with this. Do you really just want a large piece of negative?
Right. There are things less than zero.
Right. But Modern Times clearly in a much better position and growing all the time.
Yeah. Sometimes that's the best place to jump in.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, and it's growing, but I mean, also it's amazing to me because we're making some of the best beer that we've ever had. Some of the beers that I think you guys are trying today are some of my favorites that we've ever made in the history of Modern Times. So we're making beers in LA and Portland, and it just keeps on getting better. People are surprising me left and right, and it's phenomenal.
Could you give me a tiny bit of information even about how you determine how many shares an employee owns? I mean, you mentioned it's anybody from a dishwasher to a district manager, maybe, right? And I'm just curious how that ends up working out.
I really wish I could get super technical and just bore the hell out of you right now.
No, but give me the less technical version.
In layman's terms, but so basically, it is based on your salary for the year.
Okay,
and then it's based on the number of shares that are released each year, and that has to do with both. There's a minimum, and then also how well the company does. So a more profitable year for the company will release more shares to the employees.
So it's like an annual bonus, but then it's denominated in shares.
It's an annual bonus, but it doesn't pay out until you leave the company or you retire. So it's really a retirement fund in a way, but it can be a very generous retirement fund.
So the company grows.
So
everybody benefits.
Yeah.
No, it's a big program.
Not a bad thing.
Now, if an employee leaves the company, do you have to sell your shares at that time?
Yes, you do. So that's part of the agreement, is that when you leave the company buys your shares from you.
So I feel like it also incentivizes loyalty and building your career within the company.
You know, that's just part of it, and something we talk about a lot at Modern Times is not just like that the incentive of employee ownership is there, but how do you create a company culture that that matches that? And it's something that we're figuring out, and I think in the next couple of years we'll have a better, even better culture than we do now. But right now, that's a big thing, is like, you know, don't leave because you want to get your shares vested, and also each year you get more shares. So it's part of loyalty. It's part of taking ownership over the job that you're doing.
Well, so far between Zombie Prom Night and employee-owned shares, I'm liking your company culture.
Yeah, and you haven't even seen the 25-foot Macho Man Randy Savage pinata in Portland yet.
I can't wait. Sounds great.
Oh,
well, let's talk a little bit about beer for a minute, if we can. We've got the ice lager in our glass. I assume, is it ice or is it ICE? Is it? I couldn't tell if it's an abbreviation or acronym.
It's just ice.
Just ice. Okay.
Yeah, it's ice. Yeah.
Got it.
It's ice, or as the employees refer to it, fancy.
Okay.
And it's our pilsner, and it's Augustiner yeast, 100% pilsner malt. And then Saaz hops in the Whirlpool, no dry hop or anything like that. Very simple, and we do a regimented fermentation schedule on it. And lately we've been adding a little Spunding to it as well for some natural carbonation.
Oh, someone's got to remind me what Spunding is.
Reintroducing the CO2 back in before they're done.
So you're recapturing it to carbonate, basically? Yeah.
It's capping the fermenter, so the CO2 doesn't leave.
Got it.
It just stays in solution.
It's the same CO2 goes right back in.
Mm-hmm.
It just carbonates as it finishes fermentation.
Mm-hmm. Which is a traditional German way to carbonate.
He lost me way before that.
Oh, Andrew, what's this regimented fermentation schedule?
We step it like we make sure we knock it out at the right temperature, mm-hmm. and then we step it from there. So we're knocking it out at 52 and then increasing it slowly each day and then getting it to rise to diacetyl and just making sure that it's like a lot of beers we just ferment at 66 or 68 and straight just line. Let them go. Mm-hmm. And this one we're stepping each day.
Nice. And what's the... how many days does it take to get the diacetyl out of it? When's it done?
Well, honestly, with Augustiner yeast, we haven't seen that much diacetyl.
All right, when's the beer hit terminal then?
We get a little bit of sulfur. but that cleans up regularly. So I think it hits terminal around 4 or 5 days. And then we're, you know, depending on batch size and stuff like that for double batching, over 2 days. And then we'll try and lager it for around 4 to 5 weeks if we can.
Nice. Do you get the 4 to 5 day ferment time even on the first generation, or is that something that changes?
Yeah, so like the generations, we've been pretty good about that. We buy big pitches and then go, actually, you know, to tell you the truth, I guess I'm more nervous talking to you about it, like about it being first gen. But in the last pitch we ordered that was the first gen, it was one of the best fermentations we've got. So went really well. Yeah.
I like this beer a lot.
And we have an incredible lab at Modern Times that, I mean, you'll ask a question and they'll already have data for it. And they're just constantly thinking. Morgan Tenwick, our lab manager, is a very thoughtful person. So she's constantly thinking about stuff.
Why did you choose the Augustiner yeast?
So the Augustiner yeast was, we did a collaboration with Fair State in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I don't know if you ever had their beer, but
no.
They make incredible lagers. And Nico is a good friend of ours. And we were like, let's try this out. And we brewed with him. And we learned a lot of what we know about lager from him, who is a, you know, kind of one of these lager nerds, Pilsner yeah, nerds. Sure. And we're lager nerds. So
right.
We've taken that. And we just, yeah. We really like the Augustiner yeast. We think it works really well with our water in San Diego. It's minerally, it needs to be dry. This beer gets down below 2 Plato when it's finishing, and it needs to be dry. It needs to be not necessarily hop forward, but be crisp and slightly bitter. And that's what we're looking for in ice.
It was crisp, smooth, and bitter. But all those things.
All of it, yeah.
All of those things.
Yeah, it definitely wouldn't work I just don't think in San Diego that a big, you know, kind of, I don't know, high finishing gravity beer would work in San Diego for a Pilsner.
No.
So we want something crisp and dry, and that really works for it.
Yeah, it does. It also has that really tight, small bubbles head on top.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think from the spunding technique or?
Undoubtedly.
Okay.
I mean, you can pour, if you come to the tasting room, I will pour you just a head flowing out of the glass. I mean, we can make that's, and that's something that, I mean, I'm kind of obsessed with, but it is something that's really important to us, is have nice tight bubbles and a good head.
How do you guys clarify the beer? Is there any filtration?
We have a centrifuge at Modern Times, and that's the only filtration that we do. So my ice will not always be 100% clear, and we're okay with that. It can be have a little bit of haze.
Okay.
But we will not clarify it.
It has a slight haze. Like, you can kind of see light bouncing around in the glass, but you can definitely see your fingers on the other side of the glass clearly.
Yeah. It's still, wow.
Oh.
For just doing centrifuge, oh, my God.
No, it's definitely lager clear.
Oh, definitely.
You'd have to really, I bet most consumers wouldn't even notice that it's not completely clear. No. You got to be a beer nerd like us where you're really staring at it.
Especially in a lager glass. We're in pint glasses, so the lager glass would be much less volume.
Your glass is probably dirty. So.
My glass is clean.
We're so lucky to have found that Augustiner yeast because, well, not found it, but, you know, work with Nico because it just works so well for us. And I think it clarifies, and that's part of it, too.
Yeah.
It's the lagering time. I mean, it is an extended lagering time. It's not a short beer by any means, but, you know, it clears up, and then we run it through the centrifuge, and it's, you know, perfect. So
it looks amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's hard to get that lasting of a head.
You guys are enjoying
ice.
I think we're done here. You guys love ice. You guys love Pilsner.
Time to go. Good interview, everybody.
Yeah, 9,000.
You just want to go to prom.
I do. I got to get, you know.
It just looks amazing.
Now, Alex, how long have you been with the company? And tell us about your job here, because I have you as barrel program specialist.
That is correct. I've been with Modern Times for just almost a year and a half, so I came on September of 2016. And I actually initially was hired into the cellar there, so I was doing clean side production, working with, you know, the fruit lands and the IPAs and all that sort of stuff. But then an opening came up in the barrel program, and I went for it. And after just 6 weeks working there, I moved into the barrel program.
Okay.
And since then, I've kind of specialized more on the sour side of things, given my background working with sour beers rather than clean barrel-aged beers.
Where did you work with sour beers before?
I worked at Jester King beforehand.
Oh, one of our favorites, too. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Thank you. Yeah. I do love them. Yeah, I did a... I started... the hard way, doing volunteering on the packaging line there, and then eventually got offered a job in the tasting room, you know, okay. the prestigious tasting room. Mm-hmm. And then from there moved on and got an apprenticeship brewing. And at the end of that 6 month apprenticeship, I started looking for jobs kind of all over the country, was just looking to broaden my horizons and try something new. And I saw that in Modern Times and went for it. And
nice.
We felt similarly about each other, and I moved out, and the rest is history.
Okay.
Cool. Nice.
Did you ever get to do any stunt driving at that weird place next to Jester King?
No, but we always did hear all sorts of weird explosions out there. It remains a mystery to me, like, quite what is going on out there.
I think to everybody, it's a strange location.
Absolutely.
But what a cool... Okay. Okay, so that's a great background. So they move you fairly quickly at Modern Times into the barrel program. And, you know, what does it entail to be in charge of that? Are you blending? Are you just monitoring the amount of time that the beer stays there? Give me a little outlook.
Kind of a little bit of all of that. I was more focused on doing just the cellar work, like the transferring and the processing fruit and that kind of stuff for the most of the past year and a half, but have recently moved more towards selecting barrels for blending and kind of deciding how the fruit would be processed and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And kind of also maintaining like a mixed culture yeast lab or mixed culture lab.
Excellent.
Of various different things.
How many cultures would you say you have going at any given time?
Right now, for instance, I think I have about 8 going. And that's not to say that we're using all of them very consistently, if at all. There's
okay.
some that I've been maintaining for, you know, 8 or 9 months that we've only just used for the first time, which is...
Nice.
...is rewarding when it finally works out. They're like, this is the one that we want.
Yeah.
Bank that.
Where did they come from? Did you start by purchasing a culture and then keeping it going, or did you sort of take these from different places?
So some of them they were already in progress when I joined Modern Times, and I've just maintained what they already had started there, which, as I understand, some of them were wild harvested and some of them were just pitched up from dregs from beers that we liked a lot, you know, like the old homebrew method, why not? There are also some that we've gone to farms like citrus groves and such and actually swabbed their flora there and their fruit and isolated those strains and propped them up over time. And... actually, there was one that we did swabbed some loganberry fruit with, and we've actually got a whole batch fermenting with that now.
That's cool.
That I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure what we found there. It's a fast fermenting, like drying kind of tart, but not extremely sour.
Okay.
Yeast.
Yeah.
What's loganberry? I don't know what that is.
This dude
there.
From San Diego.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Name sounds familiar.
brown berries that... nobody knows about.
Okay. They're used for
basically,
anything?
Basically. I couldn't tell you too much more than that, although these ones actually were white, a white varietal, and they're kind of a mild
vocal.
Sweet.
They're good.
Very what?
Very vocal?
Vocal.
Oh, okay. How did you discover them? Like, did you find them in a food somewhere, and you thought, oh, we should try this? Or?
We were working with a local citrus grove to do some of our citrus saisons, and we went out to select fruit for that, and I just... Andrew and I got nerdy and went out with our plates and started swabbing stuff. But who we asked first, so we're not stealing there.
So you asked Logan for permission.
They were so excited about us taking their yeast. They were like, this is a thing? Can we, you know, what's happening here? You guys have plates?
Yeah, you just carry those with you?
Yes, absolutely.
Pretty much, yeah, nice. Well, that's cool. And have you tried some of the beer that came out with this yet?
I've actually been in San Francisco since they pitched that yeast into it, so no.
Okay, yeah.
But I do regularly taste the prop wort that I make with it and see how that's going along. And it has a little bit of that phenolic, like clovey thing going on and a little bit of a nice tartness, but it does dry out pretty quickly to the levels that we like. And,
okay.
Yeah, so we're actually co-fermenting this one with one of our house saison sour kind of cultures.
So give me an example, like, just for our listeners, too, like, would you say in this blend you're talking about that there's a lot of Brett, a little? Is there a lot of lacto, a little? Is there PDO? What do you think it comprises of? even just a general idea, you know.
Well, we don't really know with the Loganberry one what's going to happen with that, which is kind of cool. But
yeah, but even flavor wise, sometimes you can pick up on those things, right? Like if you're tasting
I'm sure there's Brett in there. Yeah. Definitely lots of lacto.
Okay.
Or bacteria at least.
Okay.
I should say, but the other blend that it's co-fermented with. I think. Do you guys have Celestial City there? Is that what you're trying?
Yeah, we're still on ice. We haven't opened that one yet.
Okay.
What is the other
one? That
one
is a great showcase of that.
We've got it.
I lied.
So is this the Berliner Weiss or this is a Saison?
What is this? This is a Saison.
Okay.
Mixed culture Saison?
Mixed culture Saison, okay. Stainless, fermented.
Smells great.
Oh, you guys already have it.
Yeah, we did have it.
I'm sorry, I lied. Yeah,
this Alex lied to you.
Celestial City.
Okay.
Yeah, so that beer is definitely Brett heavy. We use a blend of, so Alex has eight kind of different cultures going right now, but a lot of stuff is living in barrel right now, or we have some things banked, and we've often used different labs. So Modern Times first sours were collected from almost every yeast lab that we could get anything from. So I don't know if you've talked to Mike Townsmere about it, but you know, he was doing some of the sours originally for Modern Times. And he just got every funky yeast that he could find from every yeast lab at that time, 3.5 years ago.
Okay.
and some of those still exist and persist in the barrel. The eight things that Alex is talking about are kind of like things that we're trying out now and increasingly getting more and more creative and interested in. So the beer that you have in front of you, the Celestial City,
mm-hmm.
is one of our favorites, and I'll let Alex talk about it more, but it's 100% stainless and fermented with a saison strain from Giga Yeast in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then secondary fermented, well, kind of mixed fermentation with our house yeast that we cultivated from different barrels.
It's a great blend of yeast, I think.
Yeah.
It does really well.
Is there any citrus, like rye or zest or anything in the beer, or is that coming just from the bugs?
It's all bugs.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of citrus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I would have thought something, right? Some sort of pulp, yeah, some right. sort of puree.
Yeah. It's got like a hint of pithiness, but it's definitely more just the zest. And yeah. It's really nice.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of the things that we're enjoying about this particular mixed culture blend is that it does tend to exhibit a lot of a citrus characteristic and a little bit of a vanilla creaminess, and you get mm-hmm. a little bit of that from it. But yeah, this beer is a wheat, oat, spelt, saison. It did a primary for about 2 to 3 months, and then we packaged it. And it's been conditioning for about 3 months since then.
Okay.
And this is what we're left with.
Is this available in the cans that you guys do, too, or is this just on draft?
This one we package in 750s.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it shows up on draft.
Okay.
A little bit.
A little bit.
There's a little bit of draft here and there.
Okay.
It also has I love the mouthfeel of this beer.
It's a lot of body.
Mm-hmm. It has a lot of body.
What do you think? Well, what's you. Left in the Appreciate beer after the bugs? I mean, there's nothing left.
Yeah. Yeah. But this has a nice, it's a thick, creamy mm-hmm. Kind of mouthfeel. And yeah. It lingers in like just the right way. Like it's not so much that it's bothering me, you know, where I feel like I need to clean, like I need to clean it off.
Bothering you.
But it's, it doesn't disappear either, which I really like.
Yeah.
Do you have a version of this beer that you fruit? I mean, it obviously lends itself to fruit. Have you done that where you've fruited this?
What do you think?
Celestial City, Alex, have we done a fruited version of that?
Not to my knowledge.
You should.
Mm-hmm.
Celestial City is like something, is one of the beers that we love in the special projects. It's like a passion project almost. People don't always come to Modern Times to find a nice, subtle and drinkable saison like that.
Right.
We do some other beers that kind of like are more readily get fruit. Another beer that the base beer I love, but, gets fruit more readily is, Transit of Venus, which is like our house grisette.
Okay.
It's very similar to this. Celestial City is a little bit more fruity and Transit is a little bit more earthy. But we have done a bunch of fruiting with that, low ABV, wheat heavy, grisette.
What is the ABV on this? You guys know?
Oh, boy.
Is that the bottle right there?
Oh, okay. I think it's like 6.5, something like that.
Yeah. Find it for me, Alex.
Check that.
There we go. I'm just curious. It also, it's pushing the boundaries a little bit of a Saison. It's kind of a more of a wild Saison, right? Like it's because
of the mix,
because of the sour and the and the mixed fermentation that you get out of there.
What depends on what your definition of Saison, I think, is. You know,
well, and that's right, actually what I'm getting at. Yeah. Exactly, because I think it, I guess originally was this like farmhouse style. It very well could have been even more sour than this. But oftentimes, I think when you go to a brewery and you order a Saison, it's not quite this wild.
Yeah, it's a little bit harsh, but not sharp.
Yeah, it's just sort of pushing. But I think, Andrew, I actually like your start of an answer, that it does depend on your definition, because maybe back in the day, this no one would have said anything about it. Of course it's a Saison. Right?
I mean, it's frustrating. I mean, as someone who's interested in Saison and barrel aging and stuff like that, I think you go to a brewery and see Saison, it can be a little disappointing sometimes when it's just a French Saison yeast. I mean, I'm not saying like we make Lomaland. I love that beer. I think it's cool to have that beer in a can, and it's totally a production beer, and it's made with Saison DuPont yeast 565.
Okay.
And it's really good. But what I want to drink is something this, like a little tartness, a little bit of a wild component to it, and down the road, I hope that we can produce more things like this and have it available regularly. This is a beer that takes a lot of time for us to produce, and we watch the batch very closely.
Right.
Is this something that comes out, do you note the batches on the bottles so people can either collect or know that, I like this batch for this reason, but this other batch has different flavors?
We will put additions on them. We don't do it for the first edition, which is, I guess, is sort of an oversight, but we'll do the second editions. And so there'll be additions for that beer.
Oh, so this is the first.
We're drinking the first, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
We don't always know that there will be more.
Right.
Okay.
Actually, I wouldn't even call it an oversight. It'd be cool if there's never a number one on the bottle. Every one of your series starts at a number two. That's just the way it is. And if you find one without a number on it, you've got the first.
Right, exactly.
Or they're going to make it again. That's why they don't put a one.
Well, exactly.
I'm glad you like that. Because that's what we're doing.
Yeah,
we're doing that now.
It solves both problems, right? Mm-hmm. It makes you look cool when you do do the batch again, and you're able to not do the batch again.
Right.
So I got to get us to a quick break. So hang in there. We're going to take a little commercial break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Modern Times, Andrew and Alex. And we're going to taste more beer, of course.
Perfect.
Mostly because I want to.
No.
Also because it's here. Hang in there. It's the session. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out, or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, they're amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Home Brewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from the BrewingNetwork.com.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five Star treatment today.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high-temperature March pump, and either a top-tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Easy.
Hey guys, what'll it be?
I'm not sure. What do you recommend?
A lot of people seem to like the Hefeweizen.
Is that a German Hefeweizen or more of an American-style wheat beer?
I'm not sure, but I can give you a taste.
Okay, great. Great.
The Cicerone Certification Program certifies and educates beer professionals in order to elevate the beer experience for consumers. Unfortunately, not every bar is staffed with certified beer servers who can guide their customers through a beer list.
Here you go, guys. Let me know what you think of the Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely more of an American wheat. But I can hardly tell because this beer just smells like sour butter. I wonder how long it's been since they cleaned the draft lines.
Yeah, and look at the bubbles on the side of the glass. It's filthy.
Somebody should tell these guys about the Cicerone program.
For sure. How about we head somewhere else for another beer?
Your server should give beer the same respect you do. Request quality. The Cicerone certification program offers four levels of beer certification, in-person classes, and course books for beer professionals. Check them out at Cicerone.org. The Cicerone Certification Program. We know beer.
Stand my ground, and I won't back
Hey, this is Julian Trago from Beechwood Brewing, and you are listening to The Session on the Brewing Network.
Thanks, Julian. Thanks for hanging out with us. You are listening to The Session with Modern Times Beer on with us. And we're talking a lot about yeast, so let me remind you, if you haven't visited White Lab's new vault for homebrewers, you need to. Go check it out. It's White Lab's collection of specialty one-of-a-kind strains where you're able to pre-order and decide which strains are released to homebrewers. White Labs has added 20 new specialty strains into the vault right now, with other strains to be added soon. All you have to do is visit whitelabs.com/thevault. And place a pre-order on the strain you'd like to use. Once it reaches 150 orders, White Labs will release the yeast and ship it directly to your doorstep. And there's good news for pros, too. If you want access to any of the Vault strains on your next brew day, just place a minimum order of 1.5 liters through yeastman.com or by contacting a customer service rep, and you'll get access to everything. All right. So as promised, more beer and more talking with Modern Times. We've got Alex and Andrew on the program with us, and they're hanging out and sharing beer and knowledge, which I'm happy to have you both on here. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Nice. I'm still enjoying the Pilsner, by the way.
Yes, me as well.
This is my go-to.
How many
go-to.
Cans do you have? I want to make sure you had enough.
We have it on tap, too.
That's perfect. I finished it off. It was awesome.
It's going to be my go-to side beer for the night.
How many kegs do you have?
I don't know. I'll have to find that out. But we've got a lot of Modern Times beer on tap, so folks who are local, you should come out and try it. Also, if you just want to find it near you, go to moderntimesbeer.com, and I'm sure you can find a location where you can get it. Of course, they do cans and 750 bottles and draft. So, and we've got a little bit of everything here in the studio.
Yes,
which is exciting for me.
Cans, bottles of all sizes.
Yeah, Alex, what were we going to try next here? This beautiful looking slight what is pink's not the right
it's
word,
like,
is it?
Tangerine.
It's orangey like my
it's
outfit.
Great.
It is a little. It's actually, it looks. Look at this. It looks like Beardy right now.
So this is Order of Hermes. This is a super. It's an Imperial Berliner Weiss.
Super Berliner.
Super Berliner. Okay, I'm sorry. Berliner. Super Berliner.
What does that mean?
Well, we don't use Imperial, you know.
It's an Imperial, but it's super instead. And this one has dragon fruit, passion fruit, and pineapple to it, so you get a little bit of that color from the dragon fruit, of course. But just this once, we didn't do it to the point of pinkness.
Yeah. I'm kind of in love with this beer right now. This beer, this beer is my Valentine.
I get a super right. There's a lot of pinkness.
Sorry, Kim. This beer is definitely my new Valentine.
I didn't use special Sharpies for you.
Hey, no, Kim, we picked a beer for you.
I don't
for
see
Valentine's
any X's
Day.
And O's anywhere.
It's true, but I'm still going to sleep with this beer tonight.
Okay, you can have it.
So I think
with it on you or in you?
Both.
Between the blend of fruit, we ended up with about 3 pounds per gallon. In this one, so.
And is it
it's part
three
of the super?
Of fruit?
Yeah, it's not that much. Three, really?
Puree or fresh fruit? How did you?
For this one, it's puree. Pineapple, passion fruit. We love to go through that much of whole fruit, but it's not possible with the canning and everything like that. But pineapple, passion fruit, puree, and then dragon fruit puree as well.
And when does the fruit get introduced to the Berliner Weiss?
It's right at the end of fermentation. So it does ferment out. It won't explode or anything like that, but it does just get added right at the end of fermentation, right when it's like about a Play-Doh before finishing.
Okay. And this isn't a blend of any kind, right? It's just the beer and then the fruit added.
So you basically kettle soured.
By the way,
and
she said no.
This one is a kettle sour.
So just to give you a little background,
this is a kettle sour. Sweet. It's 50% raw wheat. We do a step mash on it. And we bring it over and then we kettle sour it with our blend of lactobacillus that we have that we keep around. And then we boil it. Knock it out and then ferment it. It's completely different than like our barrel age stuff. We don't try and like blur the line or everything or anything like that. People should know that this is like kettle soured and super fruited. And then we have our barrel age stuff, which is nuanced and funky and, you know, has that character to it. Got it. It's quite a different realm of beers that we're making.
I love it. Yeah. I could. Yeah. I'm going to have three glasses of this one along with my lager tonight.
Oh, this
is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And the key here is that we do the raw wheat. This just gives it that nice body, and then also just like a ton of fruit. So we've experimented with the amount of fruit, but pineapple just. No, it doesn't come through unless you're doing over a pound per gallon. So that's when we like pineapple, is using the pineapple puree at massive amounts, massive quantities.
How does that affect the perceived acidity of the beer? Is the Berliner Weiss before fruiting pretty tart, or is the acid coming from the pineapple?
It is pretty tart. I could look up what this one was, but it gets pretty tart. It gets around the 3.4, 3.3 pH range. I could probably look up the TA if you gave me a moment. But
that's right.
Yeah. But anyway,
are you saying 3.4 before fruit or? Tart.
Yeah, before after. Fruiting.
Oh
yeah,
wow.
I don't know what the final is after fruiting, but you know it depends on the fruit. We see a lot of acidity from berries. Passion fruit definitely adds stuff. Adds a lot of acidity. The pineapple isn't insane. You know, you do have some sugar there as well. So.
Well, the kettle sour always comes off as really kind of one-dimensional, and it's sour. But
this one is not that.
Oh, no. You blending back in the fruit really kind of brings it back out again.
The two fruits right on the base of the mass and the tartness. Yeah.
Do you have to do a lot of water adjustments for a beer like this to deal with the pH and to get it? Because it just so... It's just so well made. It comes through as clean and sour. So right, I just wonder if you have to really mess with that water.
Well, we do add a small amount of water adjustment, mainly to get our calcium up, which is kind of more of a yeast issue than a water adjustment issue. We do add some salts to it, even though San Diego has pretty hard water. But the acidity thing is all about using a nice lactic acidity. So we'll use some of that Plantarum strain along with a few other bacteria that we have. And then getting the pineapple and the passion fruit acidity just adds to that. You know, it's layered acidity. It's not a single kind of acid. I mean, you're absolutely right about kettle sours. At the same time, we really like the kettle sour with 50% raw wheat. We think it's complex and it has a nice character to it that layers well with fruit.
So you're pitching selected bacteria into your kettle for the sour?
Yeah, we'll use our kettle and actually our mash mixer, and we'll do a double kettle sour for something like this and kettle sour the entire batch.
Do you bring it to a boil before pitching your culture or... No.
Yeah, you want to know the process? So we.
If you're just.
That's what we're towing.
If you're not going to make me work for
hour?
It.
It is now. It's sour 5 minutes.
Right.
It's sour 5 minutes. Okay. Starting now. Mm-hmm. So we'll bring it to just around a boil, right at a boil for a couple minutes. And then we'll make sure we drop the pH below 4.8. And then we do that with lactic acid. So we'll drop it below 4.8. And then we'll knock it out through the heat exchanger, and we'll add CO2 at the same time. So we'll use the carb stone to add CO2 and knock any oxygen out, and then we'll move it to our mash mixer or back into our kettle, and then we'll pitch the lacto into it.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder it doesn't taste like kettle sour.
Right, exactly.
Then knocks all the oxygen out.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, thank you.
You heard it here. Thank you.
Thank all right,
we're
Alex.
Incredibly nerdy for the amount of things that
you like have to be though to be a look. There's a lot of good breweries out there, but to be a great brewery, I don't know that I've met a great brewery that isn't nerdy, right?
Think of one. Right.
If anybody can name me a brewer or brewery they've met that you would consider great that isn't nerdy about beer, I would love to know who they are, because it would be a total accident. It would just be luck, right?
So you're not looking at one.
Yeah. I said great brewery.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
So you're perfect. Still excluded from the list,
right.
Beardy.
That's right.
Alex, what's the next beer in our glass here that you chose?
Next, we're going to do the Glimmer Void.
Okay.
Yes, this is a dark sour that was aged in red wine barrels for a period of time, and then we did a re-fermentation with strawberries.
Okay. Was it darker than this before the strawberries? Because when you say dark sour, it's only darker than the last one.
Right.
Right.
Well, But it's dark sour, but it's actually a blend of our Oud Brune and our Flanders Red, like, versions that we do. So it's red and brown. It's not super super dark.
And you can smell the strawberry. I haven't tasted it yet, but just the strawberries are strong in the aroma, which is wonderful.
Yes.
And it's nice, too, because they also sort of punch through the... There's a lot of sourness in the aroma, too. But then the freshness of strawberry kind of pierces through that.
Mm-hmm. It's like a sour strawberry jam aroma.
Exactly. I'll give you that.
Okay.
It's a really strong strawberry jamminess kind of flavor, and then there's the bold acidity that cuts through that, and then a pretty decent maltiness that kind of supports it all the way through to the finish.
Yeah, there is a pretty strong maltiness.
In the flavor, yeah.
Not a malt sweetness, just a... It's there. It's
jammy, jammy.
The right. jammy, right. yeah. Jammy, I was going to say grainy, but it's not grainy. It's jammy. It's still jammy.
Malty and the fruit flavor go together to create...
So when you're feeling like really shitty in the morning next to the campfire...
Like tomorrow, yeah.
Next to the campfire.
You have breakfast with this beer.
Oh, you got breakfast with this.
Yeah. This is a great breakfast beer.
No, I don't want anything. Yeah. No, I don't want anything. And then I want...
You want this?
Kind of want this.
Yeah. All right, what more can you tell us about the beer?
It's one of our favorites for sure. And we have our little club of friends that we, the League of Elegant People and Partygoers. And they had exclusive selection of that beer, and they love that beer. So it's a fun little beer.
You have a lot of secret societies at Modern Times.
Right.
Yeah. I'm
exactly
noticing.
Two. Yeah. Exactly two.
Okay. That's a long title for a secret society.
Yeah.
Remember all the cool shit you were like, I want to do this when I grow up. Yeah. I think Modern Times just like living out those fantasies.
Exactly.
I love it. I was too stoned to remember any of those things, so I'm glad you guys remembered them and are bringing them back.
You know, even when you were stoned, we do have a D&D club, you know, that happens within Modern Times.
Oh, my God.
JP will be for sure.
It's kind of fun to taste the strawberry one up against the Celestial City one also, because these are both beers that we have poured for our league, for our kind of, like, reserve club.
Yeah.
With the Glimmer Void being very much like, you don't have to struggle to find that strawberry flavor, like it comes to you and you know that that's what you're tasting. But with the Celestial City, you have to, it's a little bit more nuanced and subtle and complex, and you kind of have to sit and ruminate on it for a while before you can pick out those flavor notes of, like, you know, spring wildflowers and grassiness and that kind of stuff. So it's fun to be able to do both kind of extremes of a sour beer in that way.
Yeah. Celestial City is not the next beer.
It's no, that's the one we had before.
Yeah,
okay,
that was the one
that's
we had
right.
before.
I think tasting them side by side accentuates the difference between what you can achieve without even putting fruit in a beer. Because you go backwards from the strawberry fruited beer to the Celestial City, and you're just you're just tasting so much citrus and fruit from that yeast or bacteria, whichever it is.
The fruit that's not there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And it helps drive that home.
It's a good bedding beer.
Yeah.
You know, you sit down with your beer nerd friend.
I don't know what you mean by that.
You sit down with your beer nerd friend and you go, I will bet you $50 there's no fruit in this beer.
Oh, betting.
Betting.
I heard betting.
Sorry. Betting beer. No, I'm talking about betting. And I'm talking about winning $50 from my friend.
Right. Yeah.
And you go, I bet you $50 there's no fruit in this beer. And let them try it. And they'll be like, no, there's got to be fruit in that beer.
Yeah.
Easy $50.
Especially putting them in a lineup.
Yeah.
With other fruited beers. There's no way they would pick that one.
Or you could do the lineup and go, okay, you got to call each one. Which one has fruit, which one doesn't?
Yeah.
And some beer nerds are going to win some money on this.
That's amazing. I love that you guys think, like, Celestial City is this crazy fruited beer. Because for us, it's like this, you know, funky, earthy, you know. Right. I mean, it's fruity in, like, a Brett way. But we just love that beer as well.
It is fruity in a Brett way. It's fruity in the way, actually, that some IPAs and pale ales are fruity right now. So I would almost, you know, I would, you know, you can get those kind of citrusy notes from hops. It's still surprising how much you're getting from the yeast, I think. But it, to me, it's fruity in that way. So actually, the bet is probably not a sure thing. It's about a 70-30 that you might win the fruit bet.
If you include like zest and things like that in it. I'm not saying like there's fresh oranges or something in Celestial City.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't know if I'm going to win this bet. I'm not sure.
See, we're going to make so many layers.
Sure. Well, you, I'm going to bed, Andrew. Everybody else, I'm betting.
Yeah, you get the betting beer.
You get the betting beer, yeah.
Oh, bet. Hell.
That must be a Northern California accent or something.
He's talking slower. It's fine.
Exactly. I think it's I'm nearing retirement accent is what it is. Well, all these sour beers, all the beers in general, you guys are just killing it. So you're doing a good job in the barrel room there. Are both of these are stainless, the last two that we've had? Or have we had anything from a barrel yet?
The Glimmer Void was barreled.
It is barreled.
Red wine barrels.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
The two before that were both stainless, only Celestial City and Order of Hermes.
Okay. Where'd you get your red wine barrels? Are you allowed to say?
Yes.
we get them. We've gotten them from various places, but some of our favorite barrels are from a winery called Cinquenon in SQN. I don't know if you know of them, but they're like kind of friends of ours, and they make incredible wine and and barrels. So, yeah, I don't know. They're neutral. Well, some of them are neutral.
That's what I was going to ask.
All sorts of stuff from them. We get neutral. We get Yeah, it's complicated. We get all sorts of wine barrels from them. We get neutral wine barrels. We get French oak. We get American oak. We get stuff that seriously has wine and pumice in it.
Hmm.
And then we'll put the beer in them, and we figure that the amount of beer that we're putting in the barrels, or amount of beer that we're putting in and the barrels that we're filling, we'll be able to blend back and find what we want. So for a beer like Glimmer Void, we're looking through multiple barrels and we're choosing different ones from two different batches and many years as well. I should say two different beers and many batches and choosing them and then choosing something that goes for like more of that strawberry character. I think Glimmer Void came out and the reason why you have it there is it's one of our our best constructed beers in terms of like strawberry aroma from the fruit. And then also the flavor backing that up. But we're all about like making enough beer to select and make a blend from that. And that's where Alex comes in too, is trying that, being like, what kind of fruit can we add to this? Where can we blend in different batches to get the character that we're looking for?
Is that what you did in this case, Alex, is go in there and go, I think we need to add a little here and blend this there?
This one was actually done quite a bit before my time.
Okay.
When I was still at Jester King when this one happened. But we hope to revisit it sometime in the near future. It's one of our favorites.
Is there anything you would, if you were doing this beer again right now, is there anything you would tweak or change that you could think of? It doesn't mean it makes it not a great beer, but just, you know, you got to be thinking about the future. Like, man, I'm going to be up against this beer next batch. What might I look for?
That's a good question. I haven't given that too much thought. I would say, generally speaking, I'm happy with where it is, especially so long after the fact of brewing it and fermenting it and re-fermenting it and bottle conditioning it, that the strawberry flavor is still so upfront and jammy and bright.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say that I could do better.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Strawberry's hard to do. Notoriously hard to do.
Okay, yeah.
It doesn't have a lot of flavor. It doesn't have a lot of acidity. It's just.
Yeah.
If you want to be strawberry, you got to push it.
Was all freeze-dried strawberry.
Yeah.
And that was the big thing here, was that we stumbled upon this freeze-dried strawberry product, and it worked so well. It had none of the phenolic, none of the like the kind of higher alcohol weird phenol thing that strawberries get sometimes, and it just worked, and that was part of that.
Are you guys intending to only have a barrel program at the original brewery, or will the two new breweries also have barrel programs?
I am fighting so hard for a nice spontaneous fermentation program in Portland, because everything up there is just perfect for it. But LA has no room for anything, let alone brewing. But no barrels in LA.
Okay.
And what do you mean by Portland is perfect for it? You mean just like the weather, the climate is
the
just
water, the water?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, feel like what? Portland. I don't know. I just want to go there and brew spontaneous beer.
What does the water have to do with spontaneous fermentation?
I guess it's not so much that it has to do with spontaneous fermentation. We just really enjoy drinking that water and the softness and character of that water.
Yeah,
better brewing water out of the tap.
I don't know. I mean, what's interesting about better, that term better, is that like we've been brewing up in Portland for only a month now, but even still, we're brewing some of our batches that are mainstays in San Diego, and we're enjoying the San Diego versions much more, and we're tweaking those salts and a water treatment additions a lot to kind of get to that area where Fortunate Islands or Blazing World tastes as good as it does in Portland as it does in San Diego. So
those are names of your beers, not places.
It's absolutely relative.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, depending on the style, I guess, is a better way to phrase that.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, we got time for one more beer, which I think we have in our glass, right? Is this one more? What's this?
Oh, this is Stencil Crew?
Double IPA.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Stencil Crew.
Great. So now we're into the... This is perfect. I need an IPA right now after the sour.
Got you.
Good.
Stencil
us about this
Crew
beer.
Yeah. is our long... Or short, I should say. We've had a few... Do you guys have the can there?
Yes.
As well?
Yeah.
Okay. So
add in the can.
This is a really fun project that we've been doing. So monthly we've been releasing beers. Order of Hermes is one of them. And then Stencil Crew is one of them. These beers are only available in our tasting rooms, and they're sold online first and then sometimes available for purchase in the tasting room. But this is our hazy IPA, hazy double IPA. And this one is just incredible. I'm drinking it right now, and if you want to talk about fruit, I poured it. It was just pure papaya in my nose. It was amazing. And that beer is super fun to make. We get to we put massive amounts of hops into these beers, and then we are able to sell them out of the tasting room. It's been a really fun project. And then also the art as well is something that we've recently been recognized for in San Diego. People are excited about the art, but the art department is able to kind of like flex their muscles and do some really cool stuff on the cans as well.
Yeah, this can art is really cool, although it's fascinating to me that the brewery is called Modern Times, yet the art is very retro. But it looks cool.
I don't know if you've met Modern Times before.
It was modern at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're retro the everything.
Modern is relative.
So praise and trash.
Modern is relative.
Yeah. That's their next beer, I think.
You're welcome.
Modern is relative pale.
Praise and trash.
Now this is I like this beer a lot too, and it's interesting. You get a lot of that fruit up front, but I actually get, and I don't often get this in hazy IPAs, kind of the green grassy hop flavor in the tail end of it.
Of the aroma or flavor?
The flavor,
yes,
which I really like. It's a good. Sometimes the fruit. It can almost just be too much, and this one has a big burst of fruit, and then it goes away to kind of green, which I really like. A little pine, a little grassy. Mm-hmm. This beer too.
I think that's a great observation. We've definitely noticed that with the way that we make and we like our hazy IPA is it has to have a finish. That finish is we'll use things like Simcoe and Denali, and Denali's a newer hop, but it's still really nice, and it'll give it that finish and have a little bit of bitterness. Our beers brewed in Portland in this style are quite a bit different, and I think that's okay. We're totally okay with that, with things being different in Portland than they are in San Diego, and if you come to the tasting room in San Diego or in L.A. or in Portland, you'll have a range of all those things. So that's what's really, really fun about working at Modern Times right now, is that we're brewing at three different locations, and they all have unique water profiles, and they're all making unique beer.
Got it.
That's a thing I've wondered about, actually, Andrew, if I can direct a question at you.
Friendly fire.
Intend to kind of like figure out which beers taste best at each location and just kind of focus on producing those ones there for every market? Or will we kind of brew all of them everywhere? Or you know, like tailor recipes to the location?
It's a great question. I'm going to go take a break. Alex is good, I guess.
You just want to wrap up the show?
Alex and I will just talk for like 45 minutes after this.
We're having a meeting, guys.
No,
Alex, that's a great question. And I think it like speaks to what Modern Times is trying to do with all the different locations. This is not set up, by the way. Okay, this was not a set up question.
This is an honest curiosity.
I can tell, Alex, it seemed like a really genuine question.
No, I feel like she was left out. She's like, just
been thinking about
blast
this.
It back in.
So. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, it's philosophical. It's what becomes of all the different locations. And part of the goal of having a brewery in Portland is to serve the local market. So the brewery in Portland will create the draft needs for the Pacific Northwest, which is Washington, Oregon, and a small amount of Idaho, and maybe Northern California. On top of that, they'll brew beers that work well in Portland. San Diego obviously has a much bigger footprint than that in terms of its distribution. But I think that is the goal, is to like eventually get to a place where maybe Blazing World, which is one of our cores, tastes a little different in Portland than it does in San Diego. But it's a regional difference, and that's just regional brewing. You know, it's not about ubiquity and about commodity. It's about unique, like being unique in where you're making your beer, and having a bit of a personalized touch on it.
But
and I think
me,
that's like one of the coolest things about the way we're brewing in all these locations.
So to me, that lends itself to leading on the side of Alex's question that maybe you would brew these styles only in those regions, even if you then distribute them out of those regions. Because they are picking up such a great local flair. And then I want to try that down here in California, too.
Yeah, undoubtedly. There will, I guarantee, in the next, by the middle of the year, we'll have beers that, this is a Portland mainstay, and it's coming down to San Diego, and you get to try it in San Diego.
Perfect.
But I also think there are regional palate differences.
Yeah.
Where so a beer in Portland would sell better up there than in San Diego,
so
and
I
vice
think,
versa.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's
right.
also regional curiosity. So one thing that we've seen in Portland is that people are incredibly curious about San Diego beers and what they taste like, and they're really enjoying our beers up there.
Yeah, cool. So I agree with that, Beardy. Like in terms of maybe, you know, it becoming one of your staples and more of a mass seller,
right?
It might be less so. But to try it at the tasting room or as a seasonal in San Diego as a Portland style, it will do great.
Oh, yeah,
because
definitely.
Of the curiosity, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe you don't push it as your like regional, okay, this is our new push in cans.
Versus you know? This beer always comes from this brewery.
Yeah.
There is a benefit to having it being a little regionally different.
Right.
Or how about we're going to roll this up from San Diego up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, well, let's see how this goes.
And yeah.
Now you got to.
Do you drink two Stencil Crews?
I think before he got here.
I think he's already onto the barrel-aged Devil's Teeth, really.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's his secret.
Yeah, I think what we want is the beer to be unique to the market to some extent, but obviously to get that in different locations.
Yeah.
And, And seeing what works in different places is totally fine. I mean, I think having a more regional focus and having, honestly, the goal is to have more of our beer sold out of our tasting rooms than distributed. You know, we definitely want to distribute and make things available.
Yeah.
But we also want to make it available in our tasting rooms and have that be the number one place to have Modern Times beer.
That's a great model. And then you also get to keep showcasing fresh beer that way. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Fresh beer served right, proper pours, proper draft lines.
Yeah.
Higher margin, you know, whatever.
Let's not leave that out.
Right. Money. We are employee-owned.
Employee-owned.
Yeah, right.
Make that dollar for you people.
And that's the thing, too, is it's employee-owned and every location. I mean, we were talking about our next place is a tasting room in Encinitas, which is a community here in San Diego or near San Diego. And every employee there will be employee owned. It's really fun to say that to people that are asking about why should we have your business in this location.
Right. No, it is cool. And in fact, it inspired me, a momentous night here. We also became employee-owned tonight on this program.
Yeah. Everyone owes you money.
Right.
Exactly. So that'll be $20 from each of you for tonight's show. Actually, Bevo's the only actual employee, so she's... Sorry, Bevo.
Wow.
That'll be $60, Bevo.
Yeah, you get all the shares.
Where'd all these other guys come from?
Yeah.
You know, they just walked in. They just wandered in.
Exactly. Well, I want to thank both of you for spending your time with us, for sending up so much wonderful beer. Alex, it's great to meet you in person. Andrew, great to have you on the line today to talk beer with us. And, man, I hope we carry a lot more Modern Times here at the Hop Grenade, because I'm enjoying it quite a bit.
Yeah, these were great.
I hope you do, too.
Us, too, guys. our livelihood is on the line.
Here, well, so. I know our staff here is already big fans of yours, even before I was, so I'm sure we will do our best to get more and more.
Same here, honestly. I mean, we've listened to Sour Hour and The Session many, many, many times, so everyone here was really excited to... beyond this, I think so.
Oh, cool. Well, thanks, then a Andrew. Shout out to all of you employee owners. Thanks for tuning in and supporting us, and I will continue to support you, especially now that I know how damn good your ice lager is, man.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's my new go-to. I'm so excited that craft breweries are... I've said this before. It's been going on for a few years, but I'm so excited that craft breweries are getting so good at lagers again.
Me too.
In the interview I just did about SF Beer Week with the radio station, he was asking about new trends, and of course, one thing. Oh, and he asked about what to drink in the summer. You know, some of these like normal bullshit questions. But anyhow, of course, I had to mention the haze craze. But I also mentioned, I was like, you know what, craft brewers are taking back lager.
I got those same normal bullshit questions from you guys leading up to coming to this, and I gave the same answer that I was ready to do the lager beers. Like, I'm ready for that.
Yeah, I actually, we have revamped our pre-questionnaire. You just didn't get it. And we revamped it because I was like, oh, man, I threw this together and put those bullshit questions in here. So you are right, Alex.
Yeah, I think you're actually the last ones to receive the old bullshit questionnaire.
It's an
questionnaire.
Honor in its own way, so
you are.
Thank you.
Out with the old, in with the modern.
Get with the times.
Yeah, Bevo actually sent me yours, and I was like, God damn it. I was like, I don't care how far in advance you have them booked. You need to send them the new thing. And she was like, I think they're the last ones.
Well, I sent all of the questionnaires out at the beginning of the month, and I was like, and you sent me that, and I was like,
a day late.
It's hard to have new questions, especially when you're lazy.
And you guys, like, honestly, enjoying ice is a bit of a, it's like a truth test, you know, a truth serum. It's like, so we try people on all these beers, and they're like, which one was your favorite? And if they say ice, you know, we know they're good people.
You're true, genuine.
Well, and we're being honest. They were all wonderful. I could certainly have more of that sour, but I'll tell you, I started with ice, and I will finish tonight with ice, too, because it's just, it's just right there. You guys dialed it in perfectly.
Yeah.
Just balancing
everything.
Love
pilfers.
Yeah.
What I also like is cold brewed coffee. You guys are into that, I hear.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's right. Do you want to get into coffee? You guys have
you should tell something about
the
big part of what you're doing.
Well,
is there coffee we can drink?
We're going to have to choose here, because we've only got another couple minutes. But Tasty just reminded me of something.
Isn't this an internet show? Can't we just talk for like 20? is there a time limit? No?
I don't understand. If you want to wait 20 minutes while I get to my next segment and then come back, you can. But yeah, I have a couple more segments scheduled, unfortunately.
That's fine.
But... Tasty just reminded me. I also thought I saw in the pre-interview something about sparkling water.
That's
oh my God! What?
Wait, what?
Was that bullshit?
No, it's not bullshit. That's real. It's a thing.
It's 8 o'clock.
I would rather ask about sparkling water quickly than the cold brew coffee.
Modern Light.
Alex, is it like LaCroix?
Describe this. Describe the process.
Is that what you're going
here. Alex, what is this sparkling water situation?
So we have one of the perks of working at Modern Times has always been having sparkling water and kombucha and cold brew coffee in the break room.
Okay.
In the break room.
Man.
They have a break room.
When I showed up there, someone had been making the sparkling water. I couldn't say where, but at some point it kind of dried up, and then there was no sparkling water, and I began to make the sparkling water.
Okay.
And initially it was just a recipe that was forwarded to me from an email, and I asked no questions. I'd never done this before and just started doing it.
But a recipe, it's water and CO2.
Right. So you start out with water that's either like reverse osmotized or carbon filtered or city water, like depending on what you're up for, what you know about your water. We get a water profile from the city, obviously, so we're able to start from there and modify it from there. But at the time, it was just take this water, like 5 barrels, add this much of these minerals, and just go.
Got it.
And I asked no questions, and I just did, and we made water, and it was sparkling water, and it was okay. But after doing that a couple of times, being not completely satisfied with it, I started to do my own, like, looking into it and seeing how we could change this and make this better, make it work better with our water profile.
Okay.
So kind of started modifying the minerals that I was working with there, and then also we started adding flavors to it, and it was kind of a whirlwind thing where it was just making it for the kegerator in the office, and then all of a sudden they were shipping it up to Portland for the tap room and to LA for the tap room, and suddenly I can't keep up with how much sparkling water we're moving through.
How cool is that? But it's just for like staff and customers in the tap rooms or something,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
So you're not even selling it.
We serve it. No, we serve it. You serve it, sell it, and it's called Bubble Party.
Bubble Party.
You do sell it. It's a product that you...
Yeah, in the tap rooms, for sure.
Is
it like the same thing?
If you see cans of Bubble Party 500 times, don't be surprised in the future.
Okay. It's something we've kicked around.
It's probably brilliant. Like, here I am kind of making fun of you, right, about this whole recipe bullshit.
Right.
But the truth is, this sounds brilliant.
I have to measure out and add in 4 or 5 different minerals for it. It's not quite just putting water into a tank and force carbing it, but it does.
So it's
there's
not
a little bit to it, and there's actually not really that much information like publicly available about which of these minerals are doing what to it and what you would necessarily be looking for to make your water a specific way. And so it's actually been a lot of experimentation and kind of just feeling it out. And
I think
fun.
This is cool.
I never would have guessed that I would be doing, you know, sparkling water in 2018, but here I am.
So modern times is like, fuck it. I don't know.
Pretty much.
What else are you doing with your free time?
Is water sparkler now part of your title?
I hope so. I still haven't gotten my business cards yet, but I'm hoping that we can get Andrew to include that in the title.
Yeah. It's just like Alex Williams Sparklin.
Sparkling.
Yeah. Thank you.
I like that.
But along with that, we also we definitely like go full on our interests, and we're also making cider right now.
Yes.
We got some apple cider with our license in California. We're able to make cider. So we got some cider from a grower, some Wixon apple cider, crab apple cider, and we fermented it with our Brett house culture, and it's tasting incredible right now. So we're really excited about that. It's something that's kind of like a fun side project.
Excellent. I like your side projects.
Yeah. What kind of like
hangover minerals in the sparkling water too? Have you looked into that at all?
I could make it like an electrolyte hangover beverage. I haven't considered it. You know, might be on the horizon. Nothing is off the table at this point.
I can't drink any of the electrolyte shit because of the like Gatorade's gross and the pH really bothers me. And so if it was just like in a water, you know,
take notes on this.
Also,
know what the people are looking for.
If it also comes from a craft brewery that I like, I've met you now. I feel like I know where it comes from.
It'll have art from those guys, you know. They know what they're doing.
Weird, retro, modern art.
Modernish art.
Lie to you.
What license allow? Are you making the same amount of beer as Anheuser-Busch? Because they're the only ones in California that I thought could make
cider. That's right. We're making the same amount of beer as Anheuser-Busch.
Okay.
Wow.
That explains it.
You guys grew up fast.
No, it's along the same loophole as Anheuser-Busch, but we hit that requirement, so it's above. I think it's like 50,000 barrels or something.
Oh, so it got reduced.
I don't
number.
Know. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Whatever, it's more fun to talk about the sparkling water.
Wait, you guys are making more than 50,000 barrels of beer?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I thought you guys were just a tiny little company down there in San Diego.
Yeah, even just a year ago, we were.
Are you drinking our beer right now?
Justin, you just got your face pushed into the mud.
Yeah, what has happened? I don't know what that means. What has happened?
It's been constant growth since I've got there. Everything has been in flux and constant change since I got there in September 2016, which is fun. It presents all of its own challenges. You know, growing pains are certainly a real thing, but you learn how to work in that kind of environment, and it's fun. It keeps you on your toes.
Well, way to keep a hold of the quality control during that.
Yeah.
Like, hand-pick these out. Like, these are our broadcast version.
It was actually pretty hard.
Like,
we started with an extensive
ownership list. You know, I mean, that's part of it. It's like, we had employee ownership before we ever had employee ownership. People took ownership of their beer, of the quality of the product, and, like, how they were making the product. before we had employee ownership.
Okay.
It was like just a necessity, you know, to be like, this is a official thing, because, you know, it's quality control. It's also like, you know, how Alex is making sparkling water and just passionate about making sparkling water.
Right. Right. You guys were sparkling your own breakwater.
She's got her water skills sparkling, right there on the line.
Sparkling breakwater. All right. Well, bring me some of that next time, please.
Yeah. Or I'm going to be in cans by then.
I'll come to San Diego.
A crawler of sparkling water.
Hell yeah. I mean, we all got to hydrate. Oh, might as well be good. I really like this. This is a first for a Brewing Network interview where we've talked to cold press breweries before, where it's a brewery that they do some cold press stuff. We've talked to some breweries who do a little bit of cider. We've never talked to a brewery who's making sparkling water.
If you guys could can before all NHC is happening in June, you could be the official hydrators. Of NHC, of BNA.
Definitely look into it.
I mean, since I'm going to be commandeering your space there for our anniversary party.
Right.
I know you didn't agree to that yet, but it's hard to say no to me.
Yeah, right. Try.
And we'll just fucking show up anyway.
Right.
Hey, guys. The official hydrator of BNA.
I like that
ring of it, yeah.
Me
can
too.
Can I get a growler or a crawler of the sparkling water?
My people
water?
Will be in touch with your people.
Okay. I'm his people.
Oh. Yeah, look behind you. Yeah. She's right there.
Hi.
I'm afraid.
All right, you two. Thank you again. Thanks to the whole Modern Times crew for what you guys do and sending us up some beer and putting this together for us. Keep up the good work. Wow, 50,000 barrels. Good on you guys.
Yeah.
It's more than that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
That was last year.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
By the time you get one number, it's already not
and the cider, and the sour beer, and the hazy IPA, and the Super Berliners, and everything we do.
They're all great. Yeah. I liked it at the beginning of the interview. They were making 50,000 barrels. By now, they've doubled that.
Oh, yeah.
I think in the 3 hours that we've been on the air.
At the beginning of the interview, we were making 8,000.
It's truly exponential growth. All right. Andrew, Alex, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Okay. We've got to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have a funeral of sorts.
Oh, it's so sad.
For my favorite.
I know what you're talking about.
For one of my favorite beers.
I was crying all weekend.
Yeah, it's a sad day for me. I still haven't really grappled with all of the consequences of this. I was not warned, and it sort of blindsided me. Beardy sent me a text and let me know. So when we come back, we're going to have a small funeral for my favorite beer. And the brewmaster, will be on air to pay his respects and heal my wrath.
Will he eulogize it?
Along with us. I hope he has written a eulogy.
He's got some explaining to do.
I'm going to take this break and maybe write the eulogy myself. Hang in there. We're going to do that when we come back. And also, don't forget about Beersmith. You can get your free 21-day trial of the Beersmith brewing software. Go to beersmith.com. It works on all the computers you need it to work on. It does everything you need it to do and more. He's got a podcast. He's got video tutorials. And I guarantee you, it's the best thing you've ever seen or ever used in terms of making recipes and planning your brew day. Go to beersmith.com and get your free trial. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, a Brewing Network funeral. It's not, don't worry, it's not me or Tasty. I never even put this beer on the death pool.
The break's not over yet.
Yet it's here. Hang in there, it's the session. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Brewcasters. Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Yeah.
Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Check out their brand new patent-pending mash and boil 110-volt electric mashing and boiling unit. This compact all-stainless unit lets you mash, sparge, and boil just about anywhere that has a 110-volt plug. Double wall construction adds to efficiency and safety, and a precise thermostat keeps temperatures where you want them. Unlike insulated buckets and converted coolers, multiple temperature rest mashing is easy to do, all for under $300. They also feature the Mark II work pump, a magnetic drive high temperature pump that does the work of pumps that cost twice as much, as well as exclusive Brewer's Edge regulators and quality Keg King kegs and disconnects. Check them out today at williamsbrewing.com to brew their vast selection.
With over 20 years of experience making world-class craft beer and more than 100 gold medals in international competitions, Moylan's Brewing Company is not just a pretty face in craft beer. Just ask Brendan Moylan.
What do we got here? The beer of the hour. Moylan's, gotta love that big M. It's like a sign of awesomeness. Woo-hoo! It's got an extra kick to it. Let's pour this bad boy. Oh, Moylan's. The end of the night when the kids are finally in bed, the wife's in bed, nobody's bothering your ass anymore. That's Moylan's time. Moylan's is for you.
Yeah!
It's to help you out.
Yeah.
It helps me out.
What?
Well, because it's freaking awesome. Northern California brewed. It's brewed with love.
With love?
Oh, yeah. Tremendous. And it's always best where?
Moylan's.
You gotta try it on tap at Moylan's in Novato. They're friggin' awesome. Not only because I own the brewery, because I love the beer.
Cheers.
Boom.
Kilt Lifter Scotch Ale takes big beers to a whole new level with rich malt balanced perfectly with delicate hops, and now comes in four pack tall boy cans so you can take the party on the go. Or come to the brewery, take a tour, and try any of Moylan's fresh creations right from the source. Check them out at Moylan's.com.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters. This is Jamel Zainashev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version, too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever-so-subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn-the-cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy-drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at hereticbrewing.com.
If you work in retail sales, the restaurant industry, or are a new craft beer enthusiast, or you know someone who is, you have got to check out Beer 101. Beer 101 is an online course created for anyone wanting a quick introduction to the vast world of craft beer. Beer 101 covers the history of beer, brewing ingredients and processes, vital stats like ABV, SRM, IBU and gravity, styles, tasting, glassware, and pairing beer with food. The Beer 101 course is offered by the Brewers Association at craftbeer.com, also home to the truly awesome Beer Style Finder, a visual guide to every beer style. Quickly play with color, bitterness, and alcohol content to interactively explore the entire world of beer styles with a gorgeously designed interface to your favorite beverage. The new Beer 101 course and new Beer Style Finder are only available at craftbeer.com. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer. Year.
Vigilantly, my name is Blue Canary, one note spelled L-I-T-E.
little glowing friend, but really I'm not actually your friend, but I am. There's a picture opposite me of my primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, new bird of friendliness, like guardian angels, it's always near. New canary in the alley by the light switch, who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul, not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. While you're at it, leave the nightlight on inside the birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee. To find a point on it, say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. While you're at it, leave the nightlight on inside the birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it, say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for sticking with us, as always. And thank you to Neshaminy Creek Brewing Company for supporting the Brewing Network. They've been on the Philly Beer Map since 2012, and they've gotten their fourth Philly Beer Scene Magazine Award for Brewer of the Year. They won in 14, 15, 16, and 17. They've been killing it over there. Two-time GABF Vienna-style lager medal winner, and also a bronze for their smoke lager in 2016. They've got an expanded and recently renovated tap room with 24 beers on tap, 18 of which are rotating and seasonal beers. A variety of beer styles from hoppy double IPAs to sessionable and poundable lagers. Also to oak fermented saisons and sour beers. They do free brewery tours on Saturdays. You can go check them out at NeshaminyCreekBrewing.com, and we appreciate their ongoing support. They're good people over there who make great beer, so thanks for doing that. All right. On the program right now, the formerly great brewer known as Matt Brynjolfsson.
Usually I'm excited to talk to him.
That is harsh.
Any other day.
I am so... You don't know how upset I am, Matt. So here's what's happening. We are doing our very first Brewing Network craft beer funeral.
Yes.
Right now on the program for what is my favorite pale ale on the planet we call Earth.
Okay, maybe right. Mine too.
I feel like I should have been rocketed into space with Elon Musk's Tesla. If I had known this was happening,
you would have rather.
I would
been
rather
with his Tesla.
Be in the frigid cold of space on my way to Mars,
And not have known that this was happening.
Not to have to feel the grief. As if I don't have enough shit going on in my life, Matt. Pale 30.
I thought this was going to be a celebration of life. I thought
Oh, God. Have you met us before, Matt?
Yeah. Hey, Matt, I could see you in a table of 30 people and just standing up and go, okay, fine.
Is that what he would
say? We're going to trash all my friends' dreams. And we're going to just, like, put this thing to rest.
Matt.
Well, I had to go to desperate measures. You know how long it's been since I've been on this show?
Yeah, your voice is
that's true.
You had to, I had to pull a stunt just to get this, like, 15
years. Oh, I see. This is all a joke. Good.
That's true. Just to get invited back. That's right. Matt's fallen off my radar recently, and it's probably just,
back on it now.
Wow, ouch.
Actually, that's how you know you're doing good things, Matt, is you don't have me calling and bugging you. Like, that just means everything's going great.
I'm fine. You're fine.
Ask my staff. They never hear anything from me here other than what they fucked up. So, Matt, what happened? What's happening to Pale 31?
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know why we're promoting the...
demise?
The removal of it. I saw that same post this week.
Yeah, that was
like, oh, great. Let's advertise when we take beers out of the lineup. That's phone call.
Yeah, you didn't know, right.
It's like a death. Mm-hmm. It's like...
yeah, I wondered about that.
Okay, but so in all seriousness, I mean, this is a recipe. This is a beer that's, you know, been made now for 17 years.
Okay.
And we're not saying we're not going to make it again. It's just we're pulling it out of the lineup right now.
I see.
And, you know, I like to be, you know, cup half full. I still know how to make it.
So you'll have a keg at your house I'm hearing.
You and I made a video on how to make it for crying out loud.
That's right.
Everybody
in your backyard.
That thing's going to be worth a lot more money.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wait.
By the way, to be worth a lot more money, it would be worth like $6.
You're also telling me that Justin knows how to make it as good as you do.
Yeah, he didn't say that.
It's out of the lineup, but what you're saying is that we might see like Pale 32 later on down the road as a reintroduction.
You know, I'm definitely not a big fan of like reboots, and then I say that, and I'm thinking that we just kind of rebooted Wookiee Jack, so maybe I'm eating my words there, but I don't think the intention is to pull it out and then, you know, remodel it and reintroduce it with different nameplate or anything like that. But, you know, I mean, unfortunately, the long and the short of it is, you know, you kind of base your decisions on sales. And if you're talking about a beer, you're putting in bottles and cans. And, you know, for all the people that are griping online about us discontinuing it, I kept thinking, well, why didn't you buy another six-pack, man? We wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right.
Well, yeah, if
right.
I could,
I think that's just kind of the way it rolls.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt, Matt, it's Michael from Good Beer Hunting sitting in for a minute. If I could channel my inner Gemma Wilson for a moment, I would say it's a shame that your favorite pale ale in the world is probably like 200th on your favorite beer list.
No. So now, normally,
when's the last time you had that thing on tap?
Normally, that would be true in most cases. However, after all of these years in the beer industry, pale ale is hands down still my favorite style. It's all I drink. And
well, you're saying after all these years, you're really talking about how old you're getting.
And also, exactly. You have no idea how annoying he is and has been to the staff here about making sure that that beer was on tap.
Right.
If Pale 31's available, you buy it.
So we had it on tap just a couple weeks ago, to answer your question. And because I was gone for a long time, and when I came back, they bought me a special keg to make sure it was on tap. This is my beer. It's
extra.
My
extra. Yeah. He's so extra.
But Matt makes a good point. Do you think there's just no room left in the American craft beer palate for like a great normal pale ale?
No, I mean, I think there's a lot of great pale ales that are kind of surfacing now. I mean, even in the hazy world, you're seeing, you know, 5.5-6% alcohol, hoppy pale ale-esque beers. I think there's a lot of room for it.
Okay.
You know, why it isn't working in our portfolio, I couldn't tell you. I'm just the brewer. But I think that, you know, again, it's 17 years. It's been out there.
Yeah.
You're not the only one.
And, you know, we've had this conversation before, though. I mean, it was in many ways inspired by Two Hearted. It was kind of like Two Hearted's little brother. It was kind of what I was thinking the whole time we were formulating it. And
yeah.
Two Hearted is still surging and doing wonderfully out there, so it's really hard to understand the algorithm for what does well over time and what doesn't. And we've come out with you know, Luponic Distortion and Easy Jack and a number of other beers that kind of, you know, stand in its way a little bit, I suppose.
Right. So that's kind of what I was going to say, is I wonder if it's more a reflection of all the other great beers from Firestone and less of a reflection on the general craft beer population, you know, drinking population. It's not that they don't want a great pale ale. It's that Firestone does so well and it has so many other popular beers that you overshadow yourself. Mm. You know.
So you don't think it's some style creep where kind of like a session IPA just made an out-of-balance pale ale where it's more bitter,
I think,
and a bit drier, and that's what people, because of the marketing and everything else,
right,
who see IPA, they're like, okay, sure, if I want a low-alcohol IPA, I'll do this. I don't know what a pale ale means anymore.
I think you're exactly right. So Brian Roth, our Sightlines editor, is coming out with a piece, I think tomorrow or the day after, that is basically an analysis of that category.
In some sad way, I think Pale 31 is leaving right as that type of beer is coming back in a little bit. I mean, I think about Brennan's Pale Ale, Monterey Street Pale Ale. It's been winning so many medals. He's brewing that right down the street from us at Central Coast Brewing.
Wonder what that's
and
based
I feel,
on.
In some ways, when I taste that beer, I reminisce about what pale ales tasted like 10 years ago, with a little more malt middle and a really, you know, full hop character, and not necessarily all new school hops. So, you know, some people are doing really well with those beers.
Right? I think we're seeing a diaspora from pale ale to hoppy pilsner, personally. I think we're seeing IPA escalate further and further, and I think the people who want something that's kind of lighter in the middle, easier drinking, are going with things that are a little bit more in contrast to that, with lagers and pilsners that are hopped, you know, in an American style with a bigger profile.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. And again, I think it's all of that in tandem with all, you know, all the other great beers that Firestone is making.
Sure.
That I'm not drinking. Because I buy Pale 31.
Well, yeah. Back to Justin,
might
back
be
to
that part.
Back to your idea about how you're Pale 31 might be competing within the product line. I think it is. The 805 is filling a lot of people's need for a lighter but still hoppy beer.
Right.
And that beer is like, you know, how much of your production is going to be that beer this year, Matt?
Which one, 805?
805,
yeah.
As a percent.
You know, it is more than 50%. It's probably more like 60% of our production.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we still make a ton of IPAs.
No,
and
no,
Union Jack somehow, some way.
Ton of 805.
Although it was it was born 5 or 6 years after Pale 31 is still doing really well for us. So
I'm glad to hear that, because for a moment I heard the rumor that Union Jack was going to get the axe.
Silence.
Well, if you believe what you read on social media, we signed a deal with the devil. We're going to pass everything but 805.
Right.
And,
I mean, as much as I would love to blame the Belgians, because I'm American and it's great to blame other countries for things, to me, this rests squarely on your small shoulders, Matt. I believe.
Oh, wow. I was going to blame the beer consumer, but, you know.
Yeah, those idiots.
Yeah.
No, I always need a scapegoat, and this time it's Matt.
Well, the Pale Ale.
Well, again, it was like he stopped visiting me, so I'm like, I'll kill his favorite beer, and maybe he'll call me.
Do you realize how devastated I would be if I was responsible for the death of this beer? I would probably kill myself, man.
Just gonna say, this would be your funeral.
It'd be rough.
Well, look, this won't be the only funeral for Pale 31. I had our managers reach out to our distributors up here and make sure that there were still some kegs left, and luckily for us, there are. We are going to have a funeral for your beer as an event here at the Hop Grenade, Matt.
I'll be here for that.
Oh, dear.
You got to invite me.
I'm going to. So here's what I did. Full disclosure, I said, go ahead and order the beer. So I'm leaving for 2 weeks back to Colorado, but I said, order the beer, check the born on date, and if it can wait, I really want to be here for the funeral, and I'm going to call Matt and invite him up to drink it with me. So I'm hoping we get a fresh batch. Not that you guys sent out, not fresh batches, but, you know, if it's already 3 weeks old and then I'm another 2 weeks away, I don't know. You think that's okay? What do you think? The beer hold up?
We'll make sure you have some fresh beer for that event.
Okay. Then we're going to do it in early March, and you will absolutely get an invite from me. And because I know this sounds like a big joke and half of it is, but this beer is important to me. So I want a proper farewell here at the Hop Grenade.
Candles on the cake.
And I guess I also owe you an apology, Matt, because I wasn't buying enough. It was in my fridge as often as I could get it.
But not enough. You'll meet an apology.
I'm sorry, everybody.
And as part of the celebration of life that I would like to turn this into, it was like in many ways one of those beers that kind of I think helped turn Firestone more into a hop forward brewery, and I think a lot of beer lovers fell in love with Firestone once they tasted beers like Pale 31. Right. And it certainly did well for us in competition over the years. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Actually, I'm trying to remember how many medals you've won for that beer, but it's a lot.
Oh, so how about the part where they're going to retire it?
That's what's happening.
I know. And, and how many medals have you won? And... Really?
Doc's just here to repeat.
And only medals for sales.
Doc's just here to repeat me tonight, man.
Well, trust me, I read about this in one form or another.
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was just going to say, in one form or another, I think the count is more than 10.
Right.
At GABF, but...
Yeah. Wait, and Mission Street's been gone for a bit, too, right? Or is that still... That doesn't get produced anymore, right?
No more Mission Street.
Because for a minute there, wasn't Pale 31 and Mission Street just trading off gold and silver medals at the GABF?
There was a year I got yelled at by Adam and David because Mission Street took gold and Pale 31 took the silver.
Right.
The top two, huh?
Uh-oh.
You could have worse things to complain about.
Yeah. Being fourth would be worse.
Yeah. Was one a day newer? Was Mission Street packaged a day later?
Right. Well,
yeah, I don't know.
I will not be coming to the brewery anytime soon. I need a period of grieving before I can walk in there and not have that
what
beer.
What are you going to order?
See you in June.
So, yeah. So, by a period of grieving, I mean, I'll be there in like a month. I don't know. Actually, thank you, Matt, for producing one of the best pale ales I think this earth has ever seen. I mean that. It was such a great beer, and I think it did a lot. You're right that it did a lot for you guys into the hoppy beer scene, but I also think it did a lot for beer drinkers at a time where maybe the style was, I don't want to say falling out of favor, but it was just being overshadowed. And then Pale 31 comes out and people go, oh shit, hops in a pale ale, like
yeah
so this could work.
Thank you, Matt, is what I really mean to say.
Oh, man. Well, thanks. You know, that beer was inspired by all sorts of other beers. So, you know, we keep paying it forward. There's a bunch of new good beers coming out. There's so many good pale ale brewers out there. So
you're right. Okay,
so the grandfather dies, and the spawn is much better.
Well, and you brought up Central Coast. We're fans of theirs, and that pale ale is a great example of that.
It's killer.
Yeah, it really is.
Altamont has a good pale ale on tap right now here. House of Pale, it's called. Unless it got drank already. But so I guess I won't be absent of pale ales. I'll just be absent of my favorite until a new favorite comes along. So
big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
Oh, like losing the dog. You get another one.
And as soon as we're done with you, I'm going to call
Damn,
David,
dude, that
too.
Was cold.
Yeah. I'm going to call David off there.
I mean,
though.
It brings up an interesting point, though. How long should a beer live before it's retired and something is rebooted? I mean, some beers live forever and ever, but I don't know what the lifespan of a beer. 17 years is a pretty good run.
Yeah.
That's a great run.
So then are you worried about bringing it back too soon? Like, it wouldn't be like next summer seasonal? You would, because it's been going 17 years, you would want to give it some time? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, I haven't even had a chance to give it a thought because, you know, as the brewer, I've been fighting to keep it alive.
Here's a marketing tip. As it comes back, don't put the word pale in the name, okay? Right. Okay, 31 returns or something.
Oh, yeah, or something like
just
that.
Just call it like Trenta Uno or something and just change it up.
I don't know. Trenta Uno. That's Spanish.
But, you know, you ask a great question, Matt, that I guess beers do have a lifespan, both in a brewery's life and in the consumer's life, right? Like, a style might not. Like, pale ale's never going away. You're saying, oh, God, please never go away.
It's had its low points.
It certainly has, but then it sort of, you know, reemerged as a hoppier style and all that.
What happens? The people run up the stuff, they start drinking regular IPAs, double IPAs, triple IPAs, right, and they realize they can function on those beers.
Sure.
Where do they land? Like, most of the brewers I know drink pale ales and lagers. That's what they drink all day.
Yeah,
brewers.
But it's also a testament to Firestone too. Like, I mean, this isn't the first one that's gone away from a brewery. People just don't always give a shit. And this one, I think myself, I clearly Matt does, and other people care. But it does sound like it just had a lifespan. You know, as a brewery, as a brewery grows. So that's always going
to
be.
I like to think about beers as, you know, songs, and you're a band and you've been playing that song for a really long time. So internally, I think everyone's like, you know, we could take a break from that one for a while and leave that off the set list for a while. I think it pains the fans more than anybody. But, you know, what's interesting is I didn't really think about this in the kind of chronology of it all, but Pale 31's taking a step back. And we're reintroducing Firestone Lager this year, and that's been off the playlist since 2007.
Okay,
wow.
So we do have a history of bringing some stuff back, and
so we hate you less.
Firestone Lager is tasting better than ever, and I'm pretty stoked about that.
That's exactly the contrast we're seeing in the market, though. You know, the IPA things are going higher, and pale is kind of falling off to the lager pilsner side. The
lager's coming back, yeah, that's true.
See, Justin, it can be like, it'll resurrect. It can be the Jesus of beers.
You guys are so positive.
Matt said the band could get back together.
Yeah, but in the meantime...
The band's not breaking up. We're just not playing that song anymore.
Okay.
Drop the cell.
You're not breaking up, but you're the band who goes on tour with the new album, and all I have to hear is the new fucking album. I don't get to hear all my favorite songs.
Not even an encore?
Right? So I got to wait. I got to wait.
Oh my God.
I got to wait through 17 songs I don't give a shit about.
There's 100 cover bands out there doing pale ales.
It'll be
just fine.
That's true. They're great songs.
And he's still angry at the end of the night, man. He's like, really?
You know, you don't see the Rolling Stones going on tour and not playing Sympathy for the Devil?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Mick don't go out there and make us happy for no reason.
Right. Now I expect Matt to dance monkey like all of these other poor bands that have to dance monkey for idiots like me.
The Rolling Stones haven't played a show where they didn't play Satisfaction.
Right.
For the last 50 years.
Ever. Don't you just have a small system? You could just keep me supplied, Matt. You just make
You're being compared to really old bands right now, Matt.
Hey, Justin, just keep making CDs.
That's CDs.
Now I finally have to master that recipe myself, Matt.
Yes.
pay attention.
But thank you for doing it.
You know, you guys could come down. We could brew it on the propagator system in a couple months, and then you guys can have kegs up north.
I'm in for the festival.
I'm in.
Be careful what you offer. I'm down for that.
Yep.
No. Oh, hell yeah, I'm in.
All right, Matt. Hey, thanks for spending time with us. And, of course, you know, onward and upward for Firestone. You guys are producing great beer. But I couldn't do this show without saying a little farewell to my favorite. So,
I really appreciate it, and kind of miss you guys.
We should
get together again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. It has been too long. We'll come down and see you, and I don't know. I'll bring a pale ale from some company, and we can.
Not your own.
We can drink it together.
At the Invitational.
That's probably where I'll...
Oh, dear.
All right, brother. I hope you and the family are well. Thanks for spending time with us. And again, thank you for that wonderful beer. It changed my life, which either says I don't have much of a life or it's an amazing beer. I don't know what.
All right, man.
Take care, Matt.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
All right, brother. Bye. There you go. I'll never forget about Firestone.
Nope.
They're like family. You can get angry at them.
Right.
Not invite them to Thanksgiving this year.
They can cut out so many beers, but they just still remember them.
Christmas is a month away. You'll be back. It's fine.
That's right. All right. We've got Mike from Good Beer Hunting in the studio with us. You heard him a little bit during the Matt interview there. Welcome, Mike. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a good excuse to drive out away from the Bay Area for a bit.
Yeah, and you're here for Beer Week or what?
Yeah, mostly. Well, at the end of the week, we're doing the Almanac Beer Talks thing, so I'm going to be up there talking about beer branding.
Okay.
Along with some of the, some other pretty awesome people that I'm excited and nervous to be seen together with, Bamforth and Avery Swanson and whatnot.
But that's cool.
It's very cool. It's a huge, generous invite from Jesse Friedman of Almanac, who I'm a big fan of, so that was pretty cool. And then we kicked off, came out here yesterday for the East Brother first anniversary. They're down at Richmond, little brewery startup that we helped launch about a year ago. So it was fun to come out and party with them and celebrate a year of good patient growth.
Yeah.
And they're doing well. They're making great beer.
So Good Beer Hunting is one of the only other kind of multimedia beer sites, than the Brewing Network. You've got a great blog, by the way. You've won quite a few awards for journalism on there.
Yeah. Not me personally, of course, a big team.
But your team. Okay. Yep. You've got the podcast.
Yep.
You guys do video over there, too?
Not really. Okay. No. That's a little bit outside of our skill set at the moment, but it's something we talk about a decent amount.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys are a company that I'm a fan of in our sphere. For years there were other podcasts or other people doing it, but in my opinion weren't really giving it the respect that I thought beer journalism and beer broadcasting deserved. But you really came out with a great product, and you've been recognized for it.
I appreciate that. I think it kind of started from that similar notion of, I was a big fan. I came from a design and sort of strategy world. I was a big fan of other blogs and other industries, whether it's fashion or sports and things like that. And there was always people in those realms doing this amazing sort of journalism or content creation and things like that. And when I got into beer, going back 15 years now, that kind of thing didn't really exist in beer. And so I kind of just started making the thing I wanted to see in the world. And
perfect.
It's kind of a similar inspiration point.
How long ago did you guys start?
Man, the blog has got to be about 11 years now.
Okay.
It started very small, very personal, shitty little Tumblr thing.
Okay.
And then and that's grown into, there's a group of people working on it now all over the world, which is I'm really proud of. But I don't spend a lot of time day-to-day on that anymore. That's run by Austin Ray, our editor.
Okay.
Ryan Roth, our news editor. Matthew Curtis, our editor in the UK. I spend most of my time on the studio side, so developing brands and managing brands for small breweries mostly.
Oh, I see. So not even on the podcast side.
I do. The podcast is still a little bit of my baby. I could sit down for an hour and have a conversation with somebody, and I'm done with the job for the most part.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of time to travel and shoot photography and write stories like I used to. I still do that when I can fit it in. I love it.
Yeah.
That's sort of that's playing the hits for me a little bit. But I don't get, I spend most of my time building the business at this point.
So what is the brand management side? What are you doing
there? Yeah, that's, like I said, my background was in design, innovation planning, strategy, things like that. So a lot of that kind of translates over to, you have these small niche little breweries that were starting 10 years ago that we're becoming more than just this kind of cottage industry. I mean, Craperine's been around for 30 years, but it didn't really hit this kind of new stride until about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I started watching it from a strategic kind of point of view of being like, wow, there's enough of this happening right now. This isn't going to just be a tiny little cottage thing anymore. Like, this is going to become a business, and it's going to become a niche that's putting up some real numbers.
Sure.
And a lot of these folks, you know, that started breweries did it out of their garage, or they did it with a friend, and you know, they don't necessarily have the business expertise, you know, or the legal expertise.
Or the backstory.
Yeah, or the branding side of things. Yeah, and so I got excited about what they were doing. I was really passionate about a lot of these folks and what they were trying to accomplish and their vision. And I don't know, my job as I was a writer that went to art school, so my job was always sitting around in the gallery trying to figure out what these people are trying to do and help them articulate that. I'm basically doing the same thing now, but on a much bigger scale and almost exclusively in beer. We work in coffee and spirits and some things a little bit, but it's almost all beer at this point. It's almost all tiny little startups, you know, in their first few years.
That's exciting.
I love it. I love working with people like this every day.
I bet it's fun. Yeah, like you say, every single day. You actually enjoy waking up and going to work.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like work anymore. You guys know that. You're running a podcast in your bar right now. How bad can it get?
Just drinking beer. Yeah.
Justin doesn't even show up for it half the time.
That's right. I don't have to.
Cut her off.
That's not an insult. That's a fact, people. Come on.
It's a fact. It's a sign of my success. Right.
Yeah. It's called a backhanded compliment. Yeah.
This is the one time Kim shows up this month, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of showing up.
You guys are getting savage in here.
Oh, hell yeah.
Welcome. This is easy, actually. You can go to goodbeerhunting.com and check it out. There's a lot of great articles there. The podcast is available there. And it sounds like you could reach out if you're a small beer company or other company looking for help, too. Yeah?
Yeah.
You can do it all there on Good Beer Hunting. And then what and when is the event this week at Almanac?
It's at their new facility over on the island, which I'm excited to see for the first time. I think it starts at noon on Saturday.
Okay.
Pretty sure. It's in the middle of the day.
Okay.
And it's going to be like a series of TED Talk style things, 10 or 15 minutes apiece.
Got it.
I think at some point, you know, brewers are going to read their favorite one-star reviews.
Okay.
I've been invited to contribute my own sort of, shameful tweets that I get on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So I'll probably be reading some of my favorites of those. It should be a good time.
That's cool. Yeah, we've done that here with guests before where we made them read their worst reviews on air.
It's always good.
It's always good, yeah.
nobody hates that.
No, most of our guests have enjoyed it. Most of them. You have to feel it out ahead of time, right? Like, you got to meet the brewer and decide, does this person have a sense of humor?
So you read them to them?
No.
No.
We choose them.
Oh, that's cruel.
And then we make them read them aloud.
Jesse has been at least generous in letting us choose our own.
Okay.
Not enough, huh?
No, I'm sure it'll be great. The new Almanac space is really nice, too. I just saw it myself last weekend, and they did a fine job there. So if you're in town and looking for something to do on Saturday for Beer Week, you can go meet Mike at the new Almanac. Also, go next door to The Rake. Which is
Admiral Malting.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that.
It's really cool. One of the only traditional floor malting maltsters in North America.
Of that scale. There's a lot of tiny ones. I'm going over to see Mad Fritz, Niall Zaccarello over there tomorrow.
Okay.
Over in Napa. And he's doing a little bit of floor malting from what I understand, but it's this tiny, tiny little operation, you know, just for his beers.
Got it.
Which is pretty cool. There's a lot more of that stuff kind of popping up. But we're seeing some more micro malting, but Admiral seems to be really set up for some ambition.
Yeah.
Talk about branding, too. Their branding is...
Yeah.
What does a brand for a micro maltster look like? It doesn't look that cool.
No, they did a cool job. Well, it's not their first rodeo, and it is for malting, actually, but it's the owner of Magnolia and Thirsty Bear. They got together. Both of their restaurants are beautiful, and so they took those design cues.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's really cool. The food there is great, too.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get both of them on the show, actually, to talk about the malting. We're going to get Ron and Dave in here because I think it'll make for I just want to learn more about it.
Yeah, I'll be looking for that one.
But check it out. Go to Almanac and see Mike from Good Beer Hunting, and you can go to Admiral Malting's while you're there. So, Beardy, you don't do anything on the weekends. You go do something. Useful.
This weekend, I'm going to be at a Meet the Brewer event.
What brewer are you meeting?
Who's the brewer? And which brewer is that?
I'm going to be taking notes.
Wait, you're the brewer people are meeting?
Well, I mean, they're showing up for 30 other brewers. I will also be at said event.
Okay.
So I'm sure my line will be very short.
Right.
But there's
just say you want to feel. You have a sign that says "Want to feel the beard." You're the longest line there.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Three questions.
Okay, I'd rather have the short line.
All right.
So that's why.
All right.
Put that thing in a ponytail.
Where's your event?
It's at Hermitage down in San Jose.
Okay.
They're doing a whole South Bay Meet the Brewer event as a part of SF Beer Week.
Cool. Nice.
And so that'll be this Saturday, and I will be there.
Okay. All right. Wow. Lots of events happening. Go to sfbeerweek.com and check it all out. I have left to do here. Oh, Adam and Eve, Valentine's Day is
really?
Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah, yeah. I got my card.
Did they do rush orders?
Wednesday.
Don't tell my wife.
It's a very important weekend.
I'm sure she already told you.
Come on.
She probably did.
If you ordered it today, you might be able to get it.
That's right.
Is it overnight? What's the deal with the shortage?
My heart is fluttering.
I don't know. You can, just go to adameneve.com. They're offering 50% off just about any item, a free romance kit, a free DVD, and free shipping. You can use coupon code BNARMY. That's BNARMY. And then you can spice up your Valentine's Day. Plus, it helps us out, too. So go to Adam and Eve, buy your dirty shit, BNARMY. And have a good time this Valentine's Day, you know?
How
for once.
How good.
For once. I'm going to be at the Hop Grenade in Fort Collins. I think they're doing like a painting and beer thing or some shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that sounds romantic.
Okay, can you like have...
It's going to be me and
are you
a pale
model?
Ale.
Are you the model that everyone's going to be painting?
Can you have stuff shipped in?
They didn't ask me, which is odd.
Oh, my God. Have stuff shipped in.
I should be the model.
You should.
The nude model.
Maybe they just assumed you were available.
Yeah. They must have.
You know, it's like 20 degrees.
Yeah,
and you
got that'll put people
and
in the
no
mood.
Fun.
Yeah. And not the time you want to be painted.
Oh, wait, no. So Justin's going to be outside
I
nude
swear
modeling?
It's cold outside. That's what's happening.
I have no talent.
Right.
I'm cold. And I have nothing from Adam and Eve. So... I'm just going to paint some shit.
I love Admin and Eve. It's a new... For all your administrative needs, you can
post-it
go to...
Post-it notes.
You can go to Admin and Neve.
Use code BNARMY.
Then Neve, she kills the bag.
Hey, that's the code.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks to Modern Times Beer for being in the studio and sharing beer with us. Thanks to Mike from Good Beer Hunting. Thanks to Matt Brynelson from Firestone. And, all the thanks to everybody. Next week on the program, there is no program. It's our off week.
Yay.
I will be hanging out in Fort Collins. But the week after that, we've got a big show at the Fort Collins Hop Grenade with Zwei and Prost Brewing plus Troubadour Malting. So it's a malt show about, malt. So it should be fun. Come see me at the Hop Grenade. We're off next week. Enjoy your San Francisco Beer Week to those of you who are here, yourself included, Mike. Mike, where are you from?
Chicago.
In Chicago. Okay.
Yep, been there for about 15 years.
One of the big cities I've always wanted to go to that never have.
Oh, man. Get out there.
Yeah. I got to go check it out.
Tall buildings and cold.
Not in the summer, right?
No, I don't know.
I'm going to go in the summer.
It's 20 degrees with a foot of snow
tall
right now.
Tall buildings and cold.
And I love it.
And you like the cold.
I love the winter.
Okay.
Still cold.
God bless you. All right. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in a couple weeks, everybody. Cheers.
JP's an asshole. Justin's a nice guy.